When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yes. 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 Am I on? Mike, am I on? I'm on. Great. Well, everyone, let me welcome you to the best show. Maybe this is your first time listening and you're like, what is the best show? Well, it's a 3-hour program, give or take a few minutes, hosted by me, Tom Sharpling. And the show is full of laughs, full of phone calls, and full of fun. We just have a good time here. And if you want to have a good time, well, you pick the best possible episode to listen to. Why? Because tonight, I am going to talk to you about things that I love, and you're going to convince me to hate them. And we've got comedian Claire O'Kane coming by later. It's going to be a great show. The phone number is 201-332-3484. Get ready for a great episode of The Best Show. If you like to laugh, you definitely have found the place to be tonight here on this beautiful April evening in 2017. My friends, get ready for The Best Show as brought to you by... Wait, there's nobody that... It's the best show. There's no stupid producer, no commercials anymore. Show here on Tuesday night. My name is Tom Sharpling, the host of the program. What's going on, everybody? The phone number 201-332-3484. Gonna have a fun night tonight. We got Claire O'Kane coming by. Claire O'Kane, the comedian and actor. Mike, how are you? God, we're fully staffed out there. Got Mike, Dudio, Pat. think it's a Rush concert with the amount of guys out there. Right? What, are Rush playing here? So, as I says to you, my friends, we just heard from Sweet Spirit from their new album, which just came out. It's called Saint Mojo, and that song's called Pamela, and the album is on 9 Mile Records, and they're coming through the tri-state area very shortly, and that will be fun to see them play rock music live. They'll be at the WFMU Performance Space this Saturday. How about that? How about that? So, I says to you, the best show listener, tonight's topic is a fun one. We'll see how fun, actually. Might not be fun at all. This topic might blow. We'll find out. Mike likes when I make any sort of gesture towards filth. I say, this one might blow. I hear my... The only things he finds funny is toilet talk. And what else do you find funny? It's weird. Weird Dylan outtakes. Listen to this version of from a Buick 6? Listen to this version, how slow it is. He did multiple versions, you know. Someone would be slower and something. Yeah. God love you, Mike. God love you. JPMike.bandcamp.com. I've been thinking all week whether that caller last week is going to get that tattooed. Troubling at best. It's the only thing I could... That's troubling at best. Hey, Mike, I got the tattoo. Right? Because then you know what comes next, Mike. Right? No, what comes next after the tattoo is... You owe me, Mike. Right? Hey, Mike, you want to, Mike, you ever ride the ferry? The Staten Island Ferry? I thought we'd spend the day riding the ferry and having like a box lunch on the ferry. Hey, Mike, you going to see this new Fast and Furious? You want to go? I got an extra ticket. Hey, Mike, have you ever been to Turks and Caicos? I got room in my... Wait, this actually sounds like a good deal. This guy sounds nice. Ain't nobody doing this for me. Invite me all over the place. This fantasy person. No, they got apmike.bandcamp.com tattooed on them. No, we got all sorts of fun. So anyway, I make a thing about how I have opinions just like everybody else. Do I hold mine stronger than people? Some, maybe. I don't know. Perhaps. But one of the things that gives me pleasure, this is sad, I'm going to say. This is slightly sad. Is, if somebody calls and they're just like, I love the Doors. And then I'm just like, I tell them why the Doors stink, right? And then I make the case and then they're just like, oh, you took the door. You made me realize the Doors stink. Like with Andy Kindler. This is a national comic. This is a touring comic. A road dog. A raw dog. I've heard him on Raw Dog 99. Right? He This is a he loves the Doors, and then I started making fun of the Doors, and now he don't like the Doors no more. Why does that make me happy? So tonight, Turnabout is fair play. You know the things I love. Tonight, you, the best show listener, and the guy, you guys out there. If you want to convince me why something I like actually stinks, yeah, let's do it. I want to see if I can take it. Go into the torture chamber. Mental gymnastics. Parry and thrust. With words. On guard. Enter the arena of intellectual duel. Yeah, intellectual. As someone tries to convince me that the movie Clifford is actually terrible. The arena of intellectual duel. The phone number 201-332-3484. What's going on, guys? Don Rickles died. The late, great Don Rickles. One of my all-time favorites. Rest in peace, Don Rickles. I will say, I saw him live twice. He was fantastic. The second time I saw him was in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, at a casino. And I was with my friend Joe, and we were going into the show. And we realized we're walking up, up, up. Suddenly we realized we are second row at this thing. And Joe was like, oh no, we're second row at a Don Rickles show. And I was like, oh yes, we're second row at a Don Rickles show. And then you actually feel it. He's patrolling the stage in front of you. When the show's on, it's so funny. He was the funniest. He's patrolling that stage. And he's looking to make fun of people. I'm telling you, he stopped two seats away from us making fun of people. Like, if he would have taken one more step, he would have made fun of me and Joe sitting there. And it was like such a rush, thinking like, oh my God, he's getting closer. He's going to make fun of us. Really the funniest guy. An absolute hero. I wonder if Don Rickles made fun of Tom's jacket. No, that was Nick DiPaolo. Yeah, you got that right. Nick DiPaolo made fun of my jacket when I went to a show. I went to the show Eating It. And then Nick DiPaolo sees my jacket, and it's winter. He's like, man, what's that jacket? And it's like, yeah, it's a winter coat. Sorry. This guy's wearing a cheap leather jacket as if he's auditioning for the Wanderers movie. Right? Right? What is the casting for the stage show of Fist around the corner? Right, Mike? Right? Are you trying to be Sly Stallone's stunt double in Nighthawks with that jacket? His jacket? Those cheap fake leather jackets? Made fun of my jacket. Yeah, I get it. Yeah, well. Not Nick DiPaolo. Don Rickles. So, My friends, the time has come to raise the roof and have some fun. Seriously, though, throw away the work to be done and let the party play on. Who's good here, Mike? Two. Best show.
Oh, hey, Tom. That man's Bob. How are you?
I'm good.
Hold on, man. I want to talk to Tom Chaplin. I'm sorry, Tom. Somebody said, who the hell are you? Listen, man. We're taking this thing over. The snowboarding thing. You know what I mean? We can snowboard better than you guys. We're better in shore and water even. We're taking it over. You understand what I mean? Hey, man, stop by. Get out of my office. No. I want to show Tom. Listen, you don't know me, but I'm going to show you how to. I don't talk much better than this. I listen to this. I'm a bubba dugga 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 dugga. Get the hell out of here. You can't yodel punk. This is the way you yodel punk. Rack a nigga punk a nigga 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 nigga
nigga. What was that, Avalanche Bob?
I threw this guy out. He come in, he think he's going to take this thing over. I said, you can't take over the snowboard revolution.
No.
This is Avalanche Bob and the snowboard revolution. And we did great at Maloney's, and we might even play there on weekends, Tom.
Really?
Yeah, we're great. And things are really, we got the album coming out, and it's going to be great, Tom. We got so many different snowboard tracks on there. And my Dr. Cool is on there, and this Christmas song we re-recorded, and it's coming out probably by the end of April or the 1st of May.
All right.
Yeah, man. So good to talk to you. And
they're supporting the snowboard revolution. Did anyone at the show at Maloney's, your triumphant show at Maloney's, say that they heard you on the best show?
Yes, they did. There was one guy there. I don't know who he was. And some people, I think, did listen to and have heard me on the best show, yeah.
Great.
Yep. Oh, yeah. And the movie's being shown in Paris again. So you're going to be all over the world. You're in that movie, Tom. Yeah, the time I called you, it's in the movie.
Wait, I'm in this movie?
Yeah, there's a part in there where I called you on the best show. Raphael filmed it, and it's in the movie.
Now, what's Raphael's last name? Let me just write this down here.
It's Avalanche Bob, the movie. One time I called you, I was singing this song. Raphael filmed it while I was singing to you on the best show, and it's in the movie.
Okay, great. I can't wait to see this movie. And
It'll be probably coming back to stage pretty soon. Mm-hmm. And, we got some great songs in there, and thank you for everything you've done for me, and you're the best, man.
Wow, look, my friend, you keep doing it. You keep doing this snowboard rock.
Oh, Tom, I got so many things. We're going on the snowboard production. We got a movie idea for a new TV show, a couple of TV shows. We got idea for this character I created named Jimmy the Yodeling Leprechaun. And got so many things, Tom.
A yodeling leprechaun.
Yep.
Now, what would a yodeling leprechaun sound like?
Well, you see, he was born over in Ireland, right? And he isn't really a leprechaun. He actually wants to be an elf. So what he does, he moves to the North Pole, and he ends up saving Christmas.
Okay.
By yodeling.
He saves, hold on, a leprechaun saves Christmas by yodeling.
Yeah, because he hits this evil snow queen puts up his wall of ice, and he yodels so hard and fast that he puts a hole right through it and saves Christmas.
Wow. You have this thing figured out.
One Broadway show called Who the Man I wrote completely. It's gonna be one song from there on the album too. And I got about three Broadway shows I got an idea for, too.
Okay. All right. I look forward to this. This is going to be...
You're the best, man. Thank you for everything. And Moguls, Owen, and everybody, we all thank you.
Thank you. Well, thank you. I appreciate it. You have a great night.
You too, man. Keep rocking.
I'm going to try.
For high power, snow power, I'm going to be the bomb. Take care.
Bye. All right. Okay. So there's a movie I'm in. This movie, which I refer to as Exhibit A, will be... It's going to be a shame when I own the movie. And then the settlement is going to be I'm going to get the rights to the snowboard leprechaun or the yodeling leprechaun. I'm going to get Mike. Mike's going to play the yodeling leprechaun in my version of it. You have one of those green hats, Mike? All right. Well, you might want to shine that thing up. Get ready. Okay. Asked Mike who was good. I'm not going to do that. Mike's on probation. Best show.
Hey, Tom. How's it going?
Oh, it's going well. To whom am I speaking?
This is Jonathan in Nashville.
Jonathan in Nashville. What's up in Nashville tonight, Jonathan?
Well, it's Nashville. There's so much going on, but I'm just driving back right now. I'm going to pull over so that it will be safe.
All right. You're going to pull over.
I'm going to pull over, and I've got it because I don't want to cause any problems for anyone.
Yeah, no.
And I am pulled over.
Okay. What can
I
do?
I have one for the topic.
All right. What do you have?
Well, it's to convince you that something you like is not good. Is that the theme?
To convince me that something I like isn't good.
This is a little bit of a twist on it, I guess, because I am totally in support of seltzer.
So, was that supposed to be funny, a little twist on seltzer, as if like you're putting a little lemon or lime in it?
Oh, no, I didn't realize that just then. Sorry.
So what's your thing? What's your thing? Let me hear this thing.
Well, I mean, I'm in total support of seltzer. I was at Duke's the other night, and I ordered a Sharpling, and then I told the bartender, hey, anybody that orders a Sharpling, it's on me. And 10 people took me up on it. So I'm like spreading the word. But
I love it. Yeah.
I think you might do better. I think it would be better with club soda.
Why?
Didn't you say that you had some problems with acid reflux in the past?
Yeah, no, I don't have any. I ain't got no problem with that no more.
Well, anybody that does, or if you ever have it, I have found, and I hope I don't blind you by science here, that club soda is a little bit different from seltzer because mm-hmm. it has potassium bicarbonate in it.
Okay.
Which is, it's exactly what neutralizes stomach acid. Mm-hmm. So when I've had, like, problems with my stomach, I've always drank club soda, and it's turned out A-okay.
Okay, well, I'm going to say this, though. That's a fair point, but I'm going to say if you have problems with acid reflux, the issue at hand isn't between seltzer or club soda. You've got other – you should look at other places in terms of what you're consuming.
Yeah. Yeah, I probably shouldn't go to Burger King tonight.
Yeah, I would say that might be part of the problem. You're going to Burger King, and then you're going to be like, well, but the club soda has potassium bicarbonate in it. That it's like, yeah, don't eat it, Burger King. Maybe you won't get the heartburn.
It's like ordering a double Whopper.
Yeah, and then you're getting it. Then ordering what with extra lettuce on it.
Yeah, extra lettuce and a Diet Coke.
Yeah, my friend.
I was just looking out for your medical needs.
Looking out for yours, bro. Get off my phone in all the best way. I mean it in the best possible way. Drive safely. I'll talk to you soon. Okay. Best show. Hello.
Hi.
Hi. To whom am I speaking?
This is Dave from Denver.
What's up, Dave?
So I'm calling you about the topic.
Okay.
Okay, so you like the Knicks, right?
Well, I like the Knicks. I know they're terrible. I mean, you're not, what are you going to, convince, what am I like? No, they're great. No, they're the worst. They're going to be terrible for 100 years.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, they should be good, but they're never good.
Well, they should, but they're not. Because they got that dumb owner. That dumb owner is in a blues band.
Yep.
Imagine that. This guy's a billionaire, and he's in a blues band. Just think about that for a second. You done thinking about it? Okay. So they're terrible. I know they're terrible. But those good days, when there were good days, man, that was fun. There might not be any for a long time. I might never see them. I'm going to be in that old fossil who people wonder if they're going to see the Knicks win in their lifetime. I'll be one of those old guys who just like, I ain't wanting to see the Knicks. And now they're going to win the championship. It's exciting. I waited my whole life to see this. And now I'm going to see it. That's what I'm heading for. Be one of those dudes like those Cubs fans. Right? Think one of those old-timers? You think those old-timers were expecting to not see them win until they were 92? Right? They're just a kid at that point. They're like, yeah, I like the Cubs. Ah, we'll get them next year. They turn around, they're 92, they're finally seeing them win. And then you got that one guy, Bartman. What's his name? Bartman? Remember Bartman?
Bartman?
Yeah.
From the Cubs?
Yeah, Bartman. Remember him?
No, I don't, honestly.
He's that dunce who's wearing the headphones at the game. And look, he's a fan. He's in the stands. And the fly ball comes flying at him. He, like, reaches over and grabs it. And then, like, the one player starts screaming at him. It's like, trust me, it's not Bartman's fault that you guys lost that. They lost the game after that, too, if I remember correctly.
So are you talking about the game who cost them the World Series?
They didn't cost them nothing. If you're on the field, take care of business. Hit some home runs.
Right.
Hit some home runs. This won't be an issue.
Yeah.
You know how you win a baseball game? Not by where Bartman is sitting in the stands. This guy, he's like a well-meaning, like, he's just a goofball wearing his headphones and his baseball cap. And then a fly ball comes flying. He, like, reaches and grabs it. And this one player starts screaming at him.
Mm-hmm.
I would have dumped a beer on his head. And then Bartman became the villain. You should be the villain. Whoever wasn't hitting home runs on that team. They're the villain, not Bartman.
Right, yeah.
Now this poor Bartman can't show his face. He can't show He can't show his face in Chicago. He had to have reconstructive surgery.
Did he really go that far?
And here's the worst part. He made himself look like Rahm Emanuel, and now people don't like him either. Now Rahm Emanuel went and had surgery to look like Bartman.
Wow.
It is like a face-off. I'll take your face. I'm going to take my face off. How did everybody not just get up and leave at that point? Like, Nicolas Cage is like, so I'm going to take my face off. The entire theater should have stood as if church just let out. As if the priest just said, you are now seeing the dumbest movie. You may go in peace. And everybody rises and tries to get to the thing as quickly to go see a different movie or to get their money back. Yeah, but that's what they had. This Bartman has a different face now. He looks like Rahm Emanuel. And then Rahm Emanuel went and bought some cheap headphones. And now he looks like Bartman.
Right.
You don't follow the news, but you're not a news junkie like I am, clearly. I get up, I read six newspapers.
No.
I'm like Mort Saul. I read six newspapers before I have my grapefruit in the morning.
Really?
My half grapefruit. That's what I have for breakfast. A half grapefruit. I pour sugar all over it and 6 cups of the strongest coffee you've ever, just this mud. I have a half a grapefruit and what's that?
Can I ask you a question about your breakfast?
Yeah, what do you want to know about my breakfast? I just told you. What do you want?
So, yeah, that's why I want to ask you a question. So while you're eating it, are you thinking you're, like, healthy?
I'm sitting there eating it and reading the newspaper, and I just keep pouring sugar on top of the grapefruit. And then for lunch, I have cottage cheese. I have, like, a health platter. It's cottage cheese.
I don't understand. I love dairy, but when it comes to cottage cheese, I can't stand that.
You love who?
I love dairy.
Dairy, okay. I thought you said Gary. I'm like, what does Gary the squirrel have to do with cottage cheese?
Exactly.
So what can I do for you, Chief? Are we done?
Yeah, we...
Besha.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
This is Jennifer from Los Angeles.
Hi, Jennifer. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing, Tom?
I'm well. How's Los Angeles on this fine April evening?
Oh, it's actually pretty nice out. It's a little cold, but I'm a baby now. I moved here from Chicago, and I used to be able to, like, handle it. Now I can't.
You used to be tough with the weather. Now you're soft. L.A. beats it out of you.
It's true. I'm a little embarrassed. I'm actually ashamed of it.
Well, you know, Chicago is just filled with tough people. One's tougher than the next. So what's going on tonight?
Well, I had one for the topic.
All right.
I don't think you're going to like it, but it's about Panera Bread.
I haven't eaten at Panera Bread in like 3 years. I actually ate at one a few months ago because I there were no tables at the Starbucks. So I went over to a nearby Panera Bread. I don't think I like Panera Bread anymore.
Okay.
Right? It's not good.
It's not good. I agree with you.
It's so, first of all, it's super convoluted. It's like, only go here, order, get on this line, order your food, then they're going to give you this buzzer. And the buzzer goes off, and then you have to go to the counter, and there's 8 orders spread out on the top of the counter, and you have to hope the person who's also still making food can remember which one yours is and give it to you. And then you go, then you just go back to the table, fill your own soda, and then, or your call, like, way too many moving parts on Panera Bread. And then if you wanted a bakery thing, there's a different bakery area over here. You have to go to there. But we offer deals that if you order food and something from the bakery, you get a discount on the bakery thing. So look at both places before you order. I bought a car. I mean, it's easier to buy a car in less time than it takes to order a meal at Panera. Yeah. So, sorry, Jennifer. You can't take that away from me because I done took it away from myself already.
Fair enough.
So what's going on?
Nothing. I was just, thinking about the topic, and I remember a friend from high school worked at Panera, and she said, yeah, man, the mice problem, it's so bad. Ugh. They don't tell you about that. I'm like, well.
First of all, I want to say, this is alleged. I don't know if your friend's got some axe to grind with Panera Bread. I don't know. You're alleging. The things I'm saying are true about Panera Bread, that it's the system is not good. I don't know if there's mice running around this thing or not. So.
Okay.
Tell me now, what's the thing about, the thing now with the alleged mice problem?
So, the alleged mice problem came from high schoolers, so I agree the credibility is low, and they probably hated that job. Actually, I know she hated that job. So, and that's been a few years. And, you know, I've been out of high school more than 10 years. Maybe they fixed it. Maybe it was never an issue. But she talked about how they weren't allowed to talk about it to anyone. And they had mice traps, and maybe I'm from Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it was just an issue in Ohio. But that always rubbed me the wrong way. And I, after she told me that, she ruined it. I couldn't eat a bread bowl.
Yeah.
I you know
how they get those bread bowls hollowed out the mice. Right? It's like Ratatouille. They just tell these, they have these mice lined up, alleged, there's allegedly also. And they tell the mice to hollow out some bread so it can be bread bowls. And then the problem comes into when a dumb mouse doesn't get out of the way and they pour soup on him. And then he's in there. And then he like jumps out. Like when you put your spoon in. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Then the mouse jumps out. He's like, or if the mouse keeps eating through the bread bowl to get away from the hot soup and it just leaks all over the place. So, sorry, Jennifer.
That's okay, Tom.
You have a
great I'm actually glad. Oh, I'm glad you don't like
So what are you doing Panera. Tonight? What are you going to do? You're going to drive through up and down Sunset Boulevard playing the Entourage theme?
No, I actually... I haven't. I used to watch Entourage. That's probably something I shouldn't admit.
I'll donate $50 to a food bank if anyone in Los Angeles drives on Sunset now and films themselves playing the Entourage theme from their car driving past one of the locations in the Entourage opening credits.
Oh, man.
So, Jennifer. You have a grand evening.
Thank you.
Panera Bread. I couldn't do it. I can't do it. And what's this whole Kate Bush thing? They're like, Kate Bush wanted to play Coachella. And then Coachella said no. I'm weirdly going to side with Coachella on this one. She hasn't done any shows in the U.S. I'm going to say Coachella knows their audience. I was at Coachella. I saw Wilco have a hard time with the crowd. Wilco had a hard time. I'm going to go there and say, why is this lady doing ballet on stage? Right? What's with the ballet here at Coachella? Then meanwhile, they get Steve Aoki throws a cake at her, right? You go there, you see Steve Aoki hits Kate Bush in the face with a cake. Like, that's what she's competing against. Like, she's trying to do her like, ballet type thing. She hasn't done shows. She did one run of shows since, like, 1979 in England. Never done a show in the U.S. before. Drop her into Coachella. That'd be great, right? She's walking around. Hello, does anybody know? It's me, Jell-O Man, right? Kate Bush dealing with Jell-O Man all of a sudden. Hey, Kate Bush, $4 for a Jell-O shot, 2 for tongue. Blah. You know, she's like, has anyone seen my dancers? I want to run through the cloud-busting routine one more time. All of a sudden, Steve Aoki's like, here's some cake! Blah! Come on, baby. Come on, darling. Let me... You know that song, Mike? You'll be running up that hill. You'll be running down that road. You'll be walking down that mountain, right? It's Kate Bush. You like Kate Bush? You don't get it, do you? Man? Too artsy. Yeah. Hey, what are you, Archie Bunker all of a sudden? It's too artsy? This guy's making like, hey, all he talks about are these highfalutin books, right? Mike is like, Mike said to me, I was reading the new translation of Proust. A little gamey for me. I don't even know what gamey means in terms of writing. And then meanwhile, now all of a sudden he's out there, he's like, it's a little too arty for me. Okay, imagine Kate Bush as a book then, Mike. It would probably be her first hit. You know her first hit, right? Wuthering Heights. Heathcliff, it's me, Jackie. Right? What's that? Heathcliff, it's me, Nurse Jackie. I've come home now. I'm so cold. Let me into your window. Heathcliff, it's me, it's me, Nurse Jackie. I've come home now. Best show.
Hi, Tom.
Yes, hi. To whom am I speaking?
This is Jesse from Nashville.
Jesse from Nashville. What's up, Jesse?
No, not too much. Not too much. I had one for the topic.
I'd love to hear it.
I wanted to talk about the Traveling Wilburys.
Okay. And you know my love of the Traveling Wilburys. Please don't. No, I... Wait, you think I like them?
I thought maybe there was at least an affection for the Traveling Wilburys.
This is what I'll say for Traveling Wilburys. That song, Handle Me With Care, that's a great song.
Uh-huh.
Right? You know it's a
great
song.
Yeah, great song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of the other ones, not so hot.
Okay, I was going to talk about one of the other ones.
Well, like Tweeter and the Monkey Man?
I mean, that one's bad, but I feel like it gets way worse.
Like what? What's worse than Tweeter and the Monkey Man?
Dirty World.
Dirty World. Who sings Dirty World?
Dylan sings Dirty World.
Do you know Dirty World, Mike?
Well, it's a dirty world, but someone's got to do it.
We Care a Lot by Faith No More. You sure you got that right?
We care a lot about the Army and the Navies and Marines.
Yeah, you got the wrong song, bro. It's Faith No More. Get off my phone. Best show. I love this guy. Hold on a second, Chief. I love this guy. It's like, I know how I'll get Tom. I'm going to go after his love of the Traveling Wilburys. What? The Traveling Wilburys. Anybody in the Traveling Wilburys doesn't love the Traveling Wilburys. Go ahead. What's your name, my friend?
My name's John. I'm in Atlanta. I've called you before. I've lived in Birmingham, Charlotte, now Atlanta.
Okay. Well, what am I doing? The triangulation here on your cell phone?
Right? Pretty much.
So go ahead, John.
I was just calling with an appreciation call. you've meant a lot to me over the past, 8 years?
That's nice. I appreciate that.
You make every week better, and...
Thank you, John. Thank you. You all right?
Yeah, I'm doing okay.
You getting choked up?
No, I'm not.
Okay. So you might make every day better, and I'm glad I can help. The show's, it's nice that the show means something to people. I appreciate that.
Yeah, and I haven't been listening tonight. I just logged in and... I just got off work, so.
Okay. Well, you're off work now. What's work for you?
I just work in the food industry. I work at an Italian restaurant.
Okay. You work in the food. Is there an end game? Are you teasing me a little bit here, John? Or are you just a little
rambling?
No,
I'm not
rambling?
Teasing you. Okay. By trade, I'm a librarian.
Okay.
Just... can't find a good job at the moment.
Well, look, I'm going to see what kind of librarian you are. I'm going to throw out some codes, and you tell me what they are. You ready?
Okay. Yeah.
746. What is 746?
Well, that sounds like it's in the Dewey Decimal System.
Yeah, it is.
I usually work in universities.
Oh! Get off my phone. Unbelievable. This Mike, I tell you. What did he say he wanted to talk about, Mike? Oh, I'll tell you what this is. This is where Mike reveals how crafty he is. Mike knows that that one is, Mike knows that that's one to loosen the foundation on things. Now I'm slightly off my game, and now someone can slide in and get a direct hit. Because, and look, he seems like a very nice guy. The call, we need focus for these calls. We need focus. 201-332-3484. So anyway. Yeah. Okay. Did Kate Bush play Coachella? First of all, it sounds like that's the only, what kind of service is that for her fans? Was she going to get the entire U.S. over with at once? She's never played America. She's like, I'll go do Coachella. That'll take care of America forever. Right? You can see, yeah, who's in the afternoon? It's Kate Bush. Yeah, she's playing 440 to 525. Like, that's how America's gonna get to see Kate Bush in concert for the first time. Kate, we're cutting, just sorry, Dead Mouse wants to, go and do his thing. And he wants to know if he can use, he needs to charge his mouse head. Right? She's up there playing her piano, doing like the girl with the wow in her eyes or whatever those songs are. And then suddenly Dead Mouse's glowing mouse head lights up behind her. And then Steve Aoki runs out again. Cake in your face! Blah! Best show.
Is this me?
It is you. Welcome.
Hi, how are you doing tonight?
I'm well. How are you?
Pretty good.
To what can I do?
This is Jay in Seattle.
Jay in where?
Seattle.
Welcome, Jay.
I guess I have one for the topic. I wasn't really prepared for that, but okay. Give it a go.
Oh, God. What? All right. What do you got, Jay? I wasn't prepared. Jay, for one second. Just think about this from my standpoint. I work on this show every week. I'm trying to make this the tightest, most funnest thing anybody's ever heard. It's all I got right now. I got no job. I'm like a walking Bruce Springsteen song. I had a car, I had a job. Right? Might as well be a Bruce Springsteen song at this point. And not one of the good ones. One of the ones from Human Touch. So. And then I did come up with the topic based on all this confrontational stuff. And then you go, I got something, I guess might work for the topic. I don't know. Right? Sounds like you. What did you want to say, Jay?
Well, instead of asking that, is there somebody that you really liked or appreciated that you found out that, you know, they weren't into something you were really into, and it really changed your opinion of it?
So if I was into somebody and then they said something or liked something I didn't like, that I would now not like them?
You're into, you know, whatever it is, and you hear that someone you really admire or respect, they're like, oh, that's garbage.
I don't care. Who cares? People can
but
like
how
what
are
they...
You, yeah.
Go ahead. No. How am I what?
But you're able to do that to a lot of people who listened to the show, and they change their opinion, you know, once you put it out there, your thoughts on you know.
Well, look, I'm just saying the things I like or don't like, and if somebody's going to be willing to let me sway them, I don't know what to say to that.
Yeah.
I'm not doing it. I think it's funny that it happens, but I'm not sitting home crafting these things, trying to take things away from people. I've spent more time listening to the band than people who like the band, trying to wait for it to make sense for me.
And you just put in the time and you end up, you know, it doesn't work. I don't like it.
And it doesn't work. I don't like it. I try. I trust everybody who's like, oh, that's good. You got to check it out. It's good.
Well, yeah, you give it a go. A lot of people don't do that.
Yeah. All right, Jay. Thanks, buddy. Oh, God. You're getting to me, Mike. I tell you, Mike, you're a mad genius. You're a mad genius. Best show.
Hi, Tom. How you doing?
I'm well. Mike's like Rasputin. Right? So go ahead. What's your name, my friend?
This is Nolan in Arizona.
Nolan in Arizona. What's going on, Nolan?
I had one for the topic, but I was going to do the one to reverse it, to try and convince you to like something that you don't like.
Okay. I would love to do that. Let's do it.
The Doughboys podcast.
Look, I heard one episode of that thing with the one when my boys were on it. My boys, Hayes and Sean from Hollywood Handbook, were on this show that talks about food, and they go to restaurants, and then they're like, I like the curly fries. What about the consistency of them? Do you feel that, what about the honey mustard sauce tonight? Let's block out 30 minutes to get to the bottom of that. Look, you think I like it? Because I listened to it, and I heard these dudes, it sounded like they actually didn't like each other. I was like, oh, these guys actually sound like they're not happy with each other.
But that's the fun of it. You get to listen to this friendship almost deteriorate.
Okay. See, look, you are selling me on this. So that to you is an appealing aspect.
Well, it's fun listening to the beginning of it. You know, you listen to it and they're starting out a podcast and they both clearly like working with each other, and then you get more episodes in and it's just starting to become a little bit biting, and then by the end, I mean, they're definitely
because I thought
some jabs at
I
each
thought
other.
The name of the show was OF this, because that it seemed like that's what they said every every 3 minutes. One of them, are you one of these guys? Are you one of the guys?
No, I'm not. I'm just a fan.
Because what is
I'm not
the
a
name?
Doughboy.
Somebody said it was called Doughboys, and then somebody said it was called Hamburger Men. Which one is it? Is it not both? They don't have two different shows, do they?
Oh, I don't think so. Maybe that's a Howl original as Hamburger Man.
Yeah. So you think I should listen to Doughboys?
I think you'd like it, Tom.
This is what I want you to do, my friend. You tell me the exact episode I should listen to. I can't just start wandering through these things. Give me what you think is the absolute best episode that will hook me on the show.
Well, that's what I will say. The episode that I always suggest to people is the Hayes and Sean episode.
Yeah, I heard that one with like Red Lobster, right?
Yeah, Red Lobster.
And I remember
Lobster Fest.
And I remember Sean's like, the Cheddar Bay biscuits are good.
Yeah.
So pick another one out, bruh. Give me another one.
One that I really like is a little bit more towards the beginning, but it's with Mike Hanford from the Birthday Boys, and they do Chili's.
Okay, let me write
and
this
I think
down.
That's a really good
Hold
one.
Mike?
Mm-hmm.
Hanford. Mike Hanford, Chili's. And you are Nolan.
I'm sorry, not Chili's, I'm sorry, Chipotle. Yeah, my name is Nolan.
Chipotle. Okay, Nolan, what I'm going to do is I'm going to listen to this, and if I like it, if it turns out you're right, then I'll donate money to a food bank in your neighborhood.
Oh, that's awesome.
In honor of you.
Oh, cool.
Okay.
I think you'll like it, Tom.
Well, you certainly called and told me I would. We'll find out. And Nolan, I say to you, thank you for the call.
Yep.
Best show.
Hi, Tom.
Hi, to whom am I speaking?
This is Josh calling from Cleveland.
Josh, what's going on?
I just had one for the topic tonight.
What do you got?
So I was also going to try to convince you that something you don't like is good.
Okay. I will go either way on this.
Okay, great. Now, I know you are not a fan of Kevin Smith.
Yeah, no, I'm not.
Did you think Kevin Smith was walking?
I thought it might be a setup. I won't put anything past the crew out there. The door flew open and it was Dudio. I thought it might be Kevin Smith. Thank you, Dudio.
So you know
I don't like Kevin Smith.
Yes, I'm inclined to agree, but the first Clerks, his first movie.
Yeah.
I know you said it's terrible, and I think it's pretty great.
Okay. Well, I've seen it probably more than you, so I've tried on that one. Yeah, I'm not gonna you lose on that one, bro. It ain't happening.
Fair enough.
Clerks one.
I didn't know.
Can you imagine that, Mike? I'm supposed to go back and watch Clerks one. Can you imagine? what do you want me to do with the one guy? I'm trying to get a Santa. I wanted to play hockey. And you thought I wasn't supposed to even work today. And then the other guy's like, yeah, you know, I thought we'd just go play hockey. I gotta work. I gotta work. Look, I gotta tap the brakes on these guys. Are local, these dudes. I'm gonna run into those guys. I got no problem with it. Look, if you like Kevin Smith movies, I'll say this about Kevin Smith. This guy keeps going. This guy stays on his feet. I'm ready to sit down, man. I'm ready to take the big sit. Right? I'm ready to just fall into an easy chair and fade out. This Kevin Smith, he keeps going. He tries a thing, don't work, he tries another thing. I don't have that. I used to have that. I ain't got that no more. I'm ready to quit, my friend. Not this. Not the best show. Because, honestly, who's doing anything better than this, right? You know what I'm doing here.
No one.
You see what we build. To be this far into it and to have the show be this great, insane.
Mind-blowing.
Yeah, right? Thank you. Mind-blowing. But other stuff, ain't nobody care, man. Don't nobody care. It's Kevin Smith. He just keeps going. He does a thing and it bombs. He does another thing. He does that and it flops. He goes and figures another thing out. He does another thing and that turfs out. He goes and makes another thing. Right?
It's very true. And I'm not a big fan, honestly. I like Clerks a lot. And after that, there's not a ton that I'm living and dying with. He does. He keeps going.
Wait, so you're actually going to say, I like Clerks, but I don't like his other 36 movies?
Yeah, no, not really. Honestly, Clerks, I kind of love the first one. And after that, it's a pretty quick descent for me.
I think you're less of a fan than I am. Of this guy.
Of him as a whole, probably. I'm not trying to convince you. He's great. I just love that one movie.
All right. Well, good for you. Go watch it. Get off my phone. Best show.
Hey, Tom. How are you?
I'm good. Hold on one second. Hey, did you guys want pizza? Well, are you going to eat it? Mike, do you want pizza? Studio. I love these guys. I'll have a slice. I come out there. There's crumbs laying there. Who's these guys? Oh, I guess I could be convinced to have a slice. Last time I checked, 8 slices in pizza. I go out there. go out there, and the only thing left, the little pizza table in the middle, that little steamer thing, the little plastic thing, that's half chewed up. These vultures out there. Oh, I could have a slice. I guess I could. Sure. I would have a. Can they cut a slice into 8 slices of a slice, and I'll have one of those 8? Maybe I would. I go out there. These guys have pizza rings or sauce rings around their mouth. Right? I think it was the little rascals. Yeah, why don't you order a pizza? Guys, I'll pay for it. What's that now? You get it whenever you guys want it. I'm trying to keep these guys happy. Just trying to keep them happy. To whom am I speaking?
Hey, Tom, it's Z-Man.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't mean to double dip. I don't usually, but I had something.
Well, double dip would be if you called two times in the same show.
Okay, I guess.
First
of all,
let me just say Z-Man.
Go ahead.
For people who don't know the show, this guy Z-Man is one of these regular callers. And it's like these guys are like they call and they do their thing. And they're like the characters of the show, the colorful wackos. They're like if this was like the Howard Stern show, the Z-Man would be like a Beetlejuice or a
wonderful.
No, or he'd be great. And he's a guy who his quirk, and I say we all have quirks, Z-Man. We
sure,
all have
of course.
Them. We all have them. He has a puppet that literally, and I mean literally, has not been off his arm for 11 years. This puppet, his name is Wally Wacky Man. He's purple. And Z-Man has not taken this puppet off in 11 years. And this thing argues with him. I went one time, I was at a gas station, and I was like, what's the holdup here with the line? And they're like, some guy's arguing with his puppet. I'm like, oh, please don't let this be Z-Man. And this was post-hurricane, when the gas was being rationed. So the lines were really long for gas. And this guy was tying up the line arguing with his puppet. And it was, lo and behold, it's Z-Man and his puppet, Wally Wacky Man.
Yep, buying gas down in Jersey.
So, very wasteful also. You don't live in New Jersey. I was like,
buying back all the gas I used.
Doesn't this guy know the hurricane has placed severe restrictions on this, on gasoline? Why is he's driving his car to a gas station, basically running out of gas to get there, and then he'll fill up, drive home and run out of gas by the time he gets home. That's how far away he lives. So what? To what do I owe the pleasure of you calling Z-Man?
Well, there was two things. I had one idea for the topic, but first I just wanted to tell you this. Earlier today I ran out for, you know, some quick errands. I just grabbed a shirt from my drawer, and it was the Michael Kupperman design from the premium, from, you know, one of the marathons. Yes. Back in the WFMU days.
Very nice shirt Michael did.
Yes. And I had it on, you know, I was at home and was hanging out and just playing with my daughter, and, you know, she was looking at the shirt kind of curious and pointing to it and kind of saying, just kind of babble talk, just, you know, little little, you know, kid stuff. And so I said, oh, Penny, that's The Best Show. Can you say The Best Show? And she said, Best Show. So just figured you'd appreciate it.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
Yeah, she went, Best Show. So you're in the repertoire of her words.
Well, I mean, the one thing I will say, a mitigating fact, is she's 11 years old, which it's less impressive when people know that.
Exactly, too. I don't know if you're mistaking me for someone else.
That you have an 11-year-old who you said, say Best Show, and she went, Best Show. She looked, gives you like a dirty look. She's like, okay, Best Show. Are you happy now? So, no, so that's a fun story. And what else do you have, Z-Man?
Beyond that, I was just the alternate take of the topic. I was wondering if I could try to convince you to like the movie Labyrinth.
To convince me to like what movie?
Labyrinth.
Oh, yeah, that's not happening. Labyrinth. Do you mean the worst of... That's the one where David Bowie was dressed like a warlock, right? So it was the worst.
That's one way to put it.
It was the worst of David Bowie and the worst of Jim Henson together. These two guys, wow, when they were both scraping the barrel, decided to team up and see if they could get their worst project out of the way together.
Wow.
And this is, look. Which one is Labyrinth? That's the one where he's like, I gotta go on the ground, right?
That's one of the songs, yeah.
And this is the problem with this, and don't take this the wrong way.
No, look, I wouldn't have mentioned it if I wasn't going to be prepared for your thoughts.
This guy was a genius, Jim Henson. He was an absolute genius. And one of the great things about Jim Henson was he failed so many times. He tried so hard. This guy worked hard. He worked so hard to break in. He would do a thing and it would fail. Then he'd do another thing and it would fail. Right?
Yeah. No, you read his biography. There were so many projects that didn't get off the ground.
He turfed out so many times with these Muppets. And then finally he had the thing and it worked. And then everybody wanted it. Right?
Mm-hmm.
But it came after so much failure. But the one thing he never understood is that those big puppets are creepy and... No one likes looking at him. Kermit the Frog, little dude. Everybody loves it. Fonzie Bear, people can't get enough, right?
Mm-hmm.
Miss Piggy, love it. Get one of those 8-foot things, get it out of here. No one wants it. Right? Who's inside that thing? Lurch, right? Is that how Lurch makes money when Adam's family's not filming? Right? What's that? Who's in there?
I just said I've become friendly with one of the guys who was in the big guy in Labyrinth.
Yeah, but what do they put in there? It's like they get the guy who played Darth Vader, the guy who played Chewbacca, and Lurch, and they're dancing around in these 10-foot-high monster costumes, and then they wonder why every one of those things bombed. Those are the Jim Henson, he couldn't give those things away. But then when he takes the Muppets back out, everybody's lined up. They can't wait to get their hands on, they can't wait to see more Muppet stuff. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And then he's like, oh, we'll show you more Muppet stuff, but first you've got to check out a few of these huge Muppets. Ugh. They dropped the big Muppets on Saturday Night Live. Nobody wanted them. You know those big Muppets are, you can admit that they're kind of bad, right? Comparatively, this is what I'll say. Comparatively, the best thing George Henson did was Jim Henson, not George Henson.
But George Lucas worked on Labyrinth, yes, too. So maybe that's
why I got confused. Oh, and it's also the worst thing he did. Also, and is a guy who was like, now that we're done with Labyrinth, let me go and start prepping Howard the Duck. Right? So this is the thing. Comparatively, those big Muppets are terrible compared to the normal size Muppets. You'd admit that.
I've never had a problem with their size. I don't know.
But just think of them in terms of the fun. Who's the most, name your most fun Muppets right now, Z-Man. Fonzie Bear.
The core cast, you know, Kermit, yeah. Piggy, Fozzie, Gonzo, Animal,
yeah.
Beaker.
Yeah, I noticed you didn't name Glork or Gloop, or whatever the big ones are called. Because nobody wants them.
Well, Fog has his fans.
Fog has his fans.
The big blue guy with the ears that wiggle.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. You know, also has the Giorgio the Human Carpet also has his fans.
Fair point.
Yeah, getting fans is not the hard part. Getting a few people to go, well, that was my favorite. Everybody likes the Little Muppets. No one likes the big Muppets. You can say it. You can just admit it. No one likes the big Muppets. It's okay. Right?
I guess, yeah.
Because Labyrinth. Now David Bowie shows up. This is after his two worst albums, Let's Dance and Tonight. This guy's in a free fall, and he had his other worst album, Never Let Me Down Again. And then he drops this movie in between. Yeah. Where I don't even know what he's dressed like in that thing. A tall elf? Right?
Oh, well, he's supposed to be the Goblin King, so you can make of that what you will.
Wait, now, is he the Goblin King? I am the Goblin King. I can do anything. Does he say that in it? And he has a southern accent in that movie, right?
I don't recall that part.
Well, it's me, the old Goblin King. Do what do we got going on here? Let's check this out here. I do declare. Oh, go fetch me some sweet tea, would you? Oh, it's hotter down here in the labyrinth. It's getting hotter these days, right? Is that the way he talked in Labyrinth?
I mean, I've seen it many times, but I could be mistaken. Thought he just had his usual typical, you know, voice accent.
Now, people want to know where you stand on the scenario I presented to you last week. Will you...
We're going back to that. I thought
it was done. I'm only going with where the people go. They
want
to know.
Really want me to
they
want
to know
if
Carol Spinney, the guy between the guy who did Big Bird, which is George Henson's only successful Muppet to date, is Big Bird. The only successful, full-on successful Muppet that's big is Big Bird.
Hmm.
Right?
I mean, Sweetums is pretty popular in the Muppet group too, but he's another one of the monsters, so maybe, I mean, he's definitely no Big Bird, but, you know.
But Big Bird is the only truly successful big Muppet.
Well, Snuffleupagus.
You'd agree with that. And Snuffleupagus?
Yeah, Snuffleupagus.
Okay. Two successful ones. Big Bird and Snuffleupagus are the two most successful big Muppets. Right?
Yeah.
And the guy who played Big Bird is this guy, Carol Spinney, who the scenario I presented was that he asks you to murder him. And it's actually a setup that he's looking to frame you as the person who broke in and murdered his wife.
Right?
Right?
I think that's how the scenario ended. Yeah.
And then you ended up shoving him out a window while dressed in a bulletproof Big Bird costume. No, not a bulletproof Big Bird. You're dressed in a Big Bird, like a Hulkbuster. And you're dressed like that, and you shove Carol Spinney out the window. He falls into a trash compactor.
Right.
So you still are on the fence about taking that job.
I'm not on the fence. I'm going to stand by my original statement that it's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Whoa, looky here. Oh, my goodness gracious. Where's my kerchief? It's so dang hot down here in the labyrinth. I'm boiling up. Oh, lordy B, let me take a seat here in this old rocking chair, because I'm boiling up. And take a sip of this sweet tea with a little bit of mint put in. Thanks for the call, Z-Man. You know, I love you, buddy. You know, happy Passover also to my chosen friends. To all the members of the tribe, happy Passover.
All right, thanks, Tom. Have a good night.
And you know who I am? I am unfortunately not Jewish, but I can celebrate Passover because I have been passed over for so many things in my life. No, that's an old Bob Hope joke. You know that? Bob Hope used to say that at the Oscars. He would say, now I'm going to celebrate Passover because I never get an Oscar. What does the guy think he's going to get an Oscar for? Right?
Those Red Road movies.
Yeah, they're going to get Oscar. And the award for best actor goes to, imagine that, Bob Hope. Road to, Xanadu or whatever it was. Thanks, E-Man.
Take care.
So this Rock and Roll Hall of Fame came out, right? They finally had the thing at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And this Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, I'm reading all these people writing about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And it's like,
you knew who was the star of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame acceptance speech? Was Rick Wakeman. He came out and he was so funny. He was so funny. It's like, yeah, of course he was. It's Rick Wakeman. He's super funny. Why is this a shocker? He was so funny. Did you see with Rick Wake? He came up and his acceptance speech was so funny. It's like, have you not been paying attention? Rick Wakeman has been writing funny books and touring, doing funny material for the last 20 years. He went up and he was so funny.
Drive me up the wall. This for people supposed to know what they're talking about with rock music. And then with this, do you think, who did I hear moan? I heard Eddie Trunk moaning about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. He did a thing where he's like on his show on Volume, Sirius XM Volume, Channel 106 on his show Trunk Nation. He said, if you could let one person into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame next year, who would it be? First call, Twisted Sister. Yeah, okay. Even Eddie Trunk had to go, yeah, you might not want to hold your breath on that one. Next call, Judas Priest. Okay, and that guy has a complete, he's absolutely right. Judas Priest should be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Why shouldn't they? Right? They should be in. Next call. No joke, guy. Jonathan Richman in The Modern Lovers. And Eddie Trunk says, oh, I could see that. That's clear. He's never heard the money. He doesn't know what he's talking about. I could see that. Kind of proto-punk. Kind of influential. That's a 50-50. It's like, and then the caller goes, yeah, it's like rock and roll, Revenge of the Nerds. And he didn't know what that meant because he doesn't know who Jonathan Richman is. And look, that album should be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. It's one of the 10 greatest albums of all time. But unless Jonathan Richman goes back and plays some of that stuff, he can't go in. Unless he stops the Goo Goo Gaga stuff, right?
Oh, right? He's just like, oh, I went down the street with an ice cream cone.
What? What about the perfect songs you wrote on that one album where you actually somehow tapped into literally heaven with the greatest music ever? And then now you do a song, right? What's he doing? A song just like,
one, two, buckle my shoe. 3, 4, open the door.
Wait, you can't play Hospital for us, right? Astral Plane? Can't throw us one of those? No, not Government Center. He's got to do a song about licorice, right? Right, Mike?
Yeah. Hey, little dinosaur.
Yeah. Any chance you play Government Center? No, not going to. Do Dignify and Old? Nah, why would you? They're just perfect. Best show.
Hey, Dog Father.
Oh, my goodness. I know who this is. This is my friend. Let me see if I can remember your name. Hold on. Billy? Billy?
Billy Joe, that's right. I ride a toilet.
No, this is not. No, it's not Billy Joe, the toilet, the guy who drives the car. Mike, who is this? No, it's not BB. It's Billy. Wait, it is BB. How are you? How are you today?
Has it been so long that you've forgotten?
I'm only teasing you. How are you?
I'm good, man. I'm good. Thanks for tugging the El Gombo here.
So what's going on tonight in Las Vegas?
I must tell you, it's pretty exciting. The Westgate, which is right across Joe W. Brown, they're changing their luminaria on the outside, and they've gone for it. They look like high-powered black lights.
Okay.
And then there's a kind of a pink splash in the middle. I don't know what else they're doing, but it's really cut down on. Here's where the Chester County girl comes back into play. Light pollution. Why do you worry about light pollution?
Do the lights drive you nuts? Here. Do the lights drive you nuts?
They're on all night.
Yeah.
I kind of like stars and stuff. But I still like it here.
Sure. It would be nice to see what the sky could come up with. And not
I
have
can
it.
I still see.
Right?
No, I see. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, you go.
I see Jupiter every night.
Okay, and Jupiter is the what? Is a casino?
No. It's a planet.
It's a planet.
I can see it, even with all the surface light.
Now, are you using a telescope? Probably, right?
No, naked eye.
Hold on. With your naked eye, you're seeing Jupiter.
Yeah. It's in the southeast sky, and tonight. It's probably going to be the second brightest star. It's going to follow the moon all the way to the western horizon.
Well, that's tonight. Probably a testament to how much sky pollution is going on here, right?
Sure.
That we can't ever see nothing.
Nope.
Because there's
too
many.
It kind of reflects up, and if there's any kind of cloud cover, you're kind of buggered for that. But
yeah. Too much light, too much stuff just blocking it so we can see anything good in the sky.
It's true.
So, to what do I owe the pleasure of this call, BB?
Well, I've hoped to contribute to the topic in some way, but I've never heard you express any true affection for anything other than pinball.
Wait, that's the only thing I like?
I'm talking you out of that.
I like other things other than pinball.
Okay. We were going through lists today. Slot cars came up because of American Dad.
Slot cars? I don't think I like slot cars. I actually like slot cars. I just have not done slot cars since I was a kid.
Okay. Skill cranes?
Skill cranes. What is it? Do you mean like picking up a stuffed animal from a thing?
Yeah.
Sure, I would like. You know what I like? Coin pushers. BB.
Rather than dollar rollers.
I like a good old fashioned coin put two tiered coin pusher.
Yeah. All right. Shove in. It's always oh god, that feeling when you push it in and it sticks.
Hold on a second. Somebody's saying here, Tom doesn't I don't display affection for anything. That's not true. Is that true?
You like your dog.
Yeah, what about
my
dog?
I can't talk you out of her neither.
Yeah, what about my dog, right? I love my dog. My dog is the greatest, Good and Poochie.
She's beautiful.
She is. She's half her back. Her back half is like a total cow pattern, and her front is just like a cute pit bull mix that's like white with black splotches all over the place.
Oh,
She's the greatest. And you know what she
I
did?
I love Pibbles.
This morning she yawned in my face. Just went.
How'd that smell?
It was all right.
Well, good. You're feeding her the right stuff.
And why would people be mad? I'm looking at a Tavy who's always, I think as I make fun of Muppets, and then she loves Muppets, and then I made fun of Muppets, and now she's mad. I tell you, these Muppet fans, man, they ain't got no sense of, you'd think for people who have a sense of humor, the Muppets, right? They don't like when you make fun of Muppets.
Well, you go back to the, I don't know, I was reading over Dave's shoulder about the old puppeteers who are still really sharp people that kind of got worked out of the equation.
Yeah.
And these are the people that made that, that really, really odd coffee commercial.
Yeah, from the 70s?
Yeah.
Right? What is that one? I've seen a weird coffee commercial with Muppets.
A gun goes off.
I saw this one weird coffee commercial where it was George Clooney and this one Muppet. Mm-hmm. And the two of them were just like, hey, I want to get some coffee. The one and then it was like, what is that, Nescafe? George Clooney's like, yeah, it's Nescafe. And then the Muppet's like, yeah, I want to get some. Wait, no, that was Danny DeVito. That wasn't a Muppet. Yeah.
Too many limoncellos.
Yeah, remember when he went on The View and he was just like, I had too many limoncellos.
Latte. He's probably just come from a strip club.
That would be, to hang out with that dude would probably be a pretty good time.
Probably epic.
Why don't I got nobody to hang out like that with, right? I want to start hanging out with people, having fun. I want to hang out with Danny DeVito. I'm going to end up with Danny Bonaducci.
Ooh.
BB, well, I like stuff. I like stuff just fine, BB. Thank you for reminding me I like my dog.
All right. What about
I like ABBA. What about the music? Movies. What about the music of ABBA? It's the greatest.
Oh, how do you feel about that?
I love it. It's one of the best bands ever.
See, that's the thing.
I listen to
those
albums.
You have good taste. It's really very difficult to argue with good taste.
It's hard.
And I know.
That's why I'm putting myself out here. I'm an open. I'm a target tonight. Mike, anything you want to take a crack at here? Yeah, come on in, Mike. Yeah, Love Beach is... This is the thing, BB. This Mike out here, he's the current associate producer on the show. And he has this... Let's see if that works.
Hello?
Can you hear Mike, BB?
Say something, darling.
Hi, BB.
Hey, Mike.
How's it going?
So this is what this Mike does. He's like, I like some prog rock, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which I'm leaving myself wide open on that one. Because I know it's really stupid. But I like certain good things, mm-hmm. and other things not so much. So the Mike zeroes in. Because he goes to this haunted house where it's him and these other guys who God knows where they met.
In a bar, yeah.
In a bar.
Yeah.
And they go over this one guy's house who's like the ringleader, and he's got this stereo that they blast.
High-end.
This high-end stereo. And then Mike tweets at me, yeah, I went there, and then we were listening to some prog rock in honor of you. And they listen to Starless by King Crimson, mm-hmm. which is a great song.
Yeah, that was good.
Right.
Actually, I Red is probably the album I would zero in as far as like that would be something I'd really
it's
like.
It's a great album.
Yeah.
You would like Red the most. Red is the easily easily their most accessible album mm-hmm. in that way.
Yeah.
Where does that fit around Three of a Perfect Pair? Because
this is
that
before.
We got heavy rotation in the house.
This would be the Red is the final album of the 70s. Like, it was like then he broke up the band for about 5 years, and then they got back together, and then they did those albums, like Three of a Perfect Pair. And
okay.
So they came back, he came back with Adrian Ballou in the fold. So then Mike mm-hmm. is like saying, Mike's like, I'm in this house, and we're listening to King Crimson. And he's like, I like the song Starless. It was the least boring thing. It's like, first of all, it's one of the greatest songs ever. Uh-huh. This is all I'm picturing Mike in this house. They're in this house. They're partaking.
Yeah.
These are people of appetite. They have appetites. So they go in.
Yeah.
And now they all go into this guy's closet or wherever he's playing this stuff. How big is this room?
It's actually a little, it's about this size uh-huh. width-wise, but a little longer.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's a small room.
Well, yeah, it's in his attic, actually.
Okay, so
yeah.
You're all staring at each other.
Ooh, attic party.
You're blasted out of your gourds.
Yeah, well.
And suddenly he puts
some
on.
Some more than others.
Suddenly he puts on that. Did he dim the lights?
Well, he's got the whole constellation and the black lights going. Okay. And yeah, it's
so you're
it's quite a mood.
And look, I'm not going to get specific with anything you did or didn't do. On a scale of 1 to 10 of where you were in terms of having a good time, mm-hmm. where were you?
I'm always behind, actually. Uh-huh. These guys get started real early, mm-hmm. and sometimes I come after work and. You
show up and they're already they're levitating.
Yeah,
these
yeah.
Guys
sometimes
now.
they're really out.
You're
there.
Trying to catch up.
Does this gentleman say have chronic arthritis?
No.
Yeah, just glaucoma, arthritis, lower back pain, anxiety. The issues of the day.
Got him on a roll. Uh-huh.
Yeah. So then, Mike's in this room, they dim the lights, and they're playing Starless by King Crimson. So I just picture them when it's like going like, boom, 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 bang, boom. Now Mike's probably like looking around like, because all of a sudden this guitar comes in, it's like, and it gets creepier. And now you're getting paranoid. You're looking at, wait, was that a knife I saw? And you're like, are these guys going to get me tonight? Right?
No. Actually, the thing is that I was a hit by suggesting this music because we haven't really played much of that music up there. Mm-hmm. And when I suggested this, these guys, I was their hero. Mm-hmm. I wish you could have been there, Tom, and taken all of the glory.
What are you playing up there? Winston Churchill speeches?
We play different things, but, he's got so much stuff. And actually, when
Mike and the Mad Dog tapes?
when I suggested King Crimson, he's scrolling through all this stuff. He's got it all. It's like, I can't stump this guy. Even when I throw out something fairly obscure, mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I've got this. I may not have an earlier version of, he's got tons of stuff.
So you're in the room, so you play that. Then all of a sudden they played like this Emerson, Lake, and Palmer stuff, which Mike is just gleefully can't wait to make fun of me. Because look, when I was a young boy, BB, I got money. Mm-hmm. Santa Claus left me some money. And I took that money and I rode my bike. I pedaled my bike as fast as it would go. And this is in December, mind you. Mm-hmm. I could have wiped out so hard. Mm-hmm. I rode 3 towns over to the record store. Mm-hmm. And I slapped my money down on the counter. I said, I will take from you, sir, this brand new live Rolling Stones thing, which is terrible.
Love you a lot.
No, it was probably like the one from the 80s.
Oh, Still Life?
Let's Spend the Night Together.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy.
I buy that. I buy Metal Circus by Husker Du.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And then I buy Welcome Back, My Friends to the Show That Never Ends. Mm-hmm. And then I probably bought a Frankie Goes to Hollywood 12-inch also, which I was...
Pretty eclectic.
I was all over the place.
Yeah, you're
all
over the place.
I was very confused, Mike. I was trying to figure out a lot of different things.
Okay.
So I get home, I put this Emerson, Lake & Palmer 3 LP set on.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just having, this is a grand old time.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to all this classical music, but played like lively.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then I put on Metal Circus and it's blowing everybody's brains out with this screaming hardcore. And then I put this bloated Rolling Stones record on. And then a 14-minute version of Relax. So
listen to them all as soon as you got home.
It was a great holiday season, BB, is what I'm saying. So
warms the cockles of my heart.
It was. So then Mike now takes this as a thing. He's like, oh, Emerson, Lake, and Palmer. I'm going to show him. And he picks the worst album that everybody knows is the worst album ever. Beach.
These guys
are on the, first of all.
The cover. The cover was what grabbed me.
Yeah. Looks like they're at a resort.
Yeah.
Like on Love Beach.
Yeah.
It's the three guys.
Mm-hmm.
The earlier album cover was Tarkus, which is an militarized armadillo rolling through an apocalyptic landscape. And then,
one of the coolest robots ever.
Not that, exactly. Thank you, BB. That's not the one Mike goes after. Mike goes after Love Beach, the album where it's these three guys with their shirts buttoned down to their navels in front of a palm tree.
Yeah.
Looks like it's a Donnie and Marie album.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Jay Ferguson? I think if you get the Jay Ferguson album out of the cutout bin and put it next to, like an outtake.
But that's the whole thing. It's like, Mike's, I'm going to get him now with this. I'm going after Love Beach.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, it was bad, you know, as you've admitted, but I didn't realize how
bad. You make that guy the light shining in my face in the interrogation room.
Yeah, but, you know, in your previous, discourses about your love of Prague, you're not really focusing on the downside, and I think there's
out of gas.
I think there's a big downside to a lot of
most bands run out of gas after 10 years.
Yeah,
most bands do.
Yeah,
that's when those dudes ran out of gas before
eight years. Yeah,
yeah. So they had a good run. Uh-huh. 7 years, uh-huh. 8 years.
What do you think of the song "Taste My Love"?
Mike, I'm not talking about "Taste My Love."
I mean that song. Just, you know, I didn't expect something like that, you know.
Well, that was Greg Lake. The thing you have to realize with Emerson, Lake, and Palmer is Emerson ran the show.
Right. Actually, I would say to me, from what I've heard, and I haven't heard a lot, he's the weakest link. Would you agree?
Who?
Emerson.
The weakest link in terms of what, playing?
Yeah.
No, he was by far the strongest link.
But all those weird squiggles he's got to put in there just for, like, ornamentation.
Oh.
I mean, doesn't it great? I mean,
no.
Yeah, no? You like that? Those weird...
Yeah, Mike.
That doesn't get to you?
No, it doesn't.
Oh, okay, all right.
So what, do you think he's covering stuff up with them? This guy could play. This guy's playing two keyboards at once.
Yeah.
Sometimes people have a signature style.
This guy would do the show.
Yeah.
He'd be playing two keyboards at once.
Mm-hmm.
Then suddenly, he starts taking these knives out, starts stabbing the keyboard and wrestling with it.
Yeah.
Actually wrestling with the keyboard, a 200-pound keyboard on stage.
I saw the video,
Yeah. He's wrestling with it.
Not over the top.
And then he's playing with the Moog and getting all the sounds. He's doing everything. He's not the weak link. He's the strongest link.
Okay.
Lake was the weak link.
Okay.
He's like a rock guy.
He's the one that wanted to go to Love Beach.
Yeah, he wanted. Yeah. That's him. Get that's sexy. Him unbridled.
Yeah,
that's him. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's where he wanted to retire.
Those were disco days, so you know. I guess that was as close as they got to the disco era. Would you say?
Yeah, that's as close as Emerson, Lake, and Palmer did get to the disco era.
Yeah,
yeah. So can't take it away from me, Mike. When they were good, they were great. Love Beach is not anybody being great.
Okay.
All right, get out. Get out. BB, I appreciate the call.
Two things, though, sir, before you go.
Yes? What is that?
Dug it up for Dave yesterday. Have his friend in the attic dig up DOA by Blood Rock.
Oh, that's a good one.
I hadn't heard it for years. I've got it. I remember. I can't get it out of my head now.
That's a good spooky song.
And as far as Jonathan Richman is concerned, Pablo Picasso.
That's another masterpiece. This guy couldn't This guy couldn't turn it off at that point. Now he's singing songs about the ice cream cones. Bums me out. Thank you, BB. You know I love you. You call any time.
I love you too, fella. Right.
Have a great night.
Night, Mike.
Bye. Hey, Mike. Two things. Did you guys order the pizza? Not yet. Why don't you order the pizza? Order the pizza. And see, is Claire O'Kane here? Does she want pizza?
Yeah.
No?
Yeah.
Yeah, then let's, and do you have a friend with you?
Yeah.
What's your friend's name again?
Kevin.
Kevin? Does Kevin want pizza?
Yeah.
Can you adjust the pizza order accordingly so that everybody gets pizza?
Yeah, two
pizza pies, please. Can you send in Claire O'Kane, please? So basically tonight we've been talking about how people can, they can try to dissuade me from, how are you? You can sit in the grown-up chair. They're trying to dissuade, I'm leaving myself wide open so they can dissuade me from the things I like. And nobody's even come close. Your friend can come in, Kevin can come in and watch. Kevin,
just watch.
Yeah, just watch. Don't get in. Wait, that's Pat. You're not Kevin. Oh, that's Kevin. Okay.
They look I was like, wait.
Pat calls himself Kevin now. Like, it's like, what if Pat's like, hey, don't blow this. I gotta go by Kevin when I'm hanging out with Claire. They call me Kevin.
No, that's a Kevin, my old friend.
Not turning your mic on, Kevin. Sorry. Claire's the guest.
What's up?
How are you, Claire?
I'm good.
Claire O'Kane at Baby's First Gun. Still the best Twitter handle of anybody.
You think?
I think so.
Every time you bring it up, I feel like you're judging me.
No, because it separates you from all the other Claire O'Kanes.
There are hundreds.
I will never judge you with that. Okay. Other things, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Not that. You live here now.
I live here now.
That's exciting. When did you move here?
2.5 months ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're looking at early February.
We're looking at late Jan.
Late Jan, early Feb.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what led to that? Because you grew up where now? You grew up in California.
I'm from San Jose, California.
That's right. Uh-huh. Home of? You can
say it. The Sharks.
The San Jose Sharks.
Uh-huh.
Hockey.
From there? Kevin Pollak, America's foremost impressionist.
He was in our podcasting song last week that we sang. Try to spread the blame around a little bit. Like, we all did a song here last week. Meanwhile, those guys out there are like, wait, he's going to sing a song now? Oh, no. No, Kevin Pollak, so he was from there.
Yeah.
So if he was saying something about San Jose, he'd say, excuse me, Mish, I'm just wondering if there's a chance that anybody knows when the Sharks are playing. He would want to know about getting his hands on. Columbo would want to know about getting those Sharks tickets.
Or I'm Jack Nicholson.
Be like, yeah.
I want front row seat.
front row.
Give me close to the glass.
Yes.
Yeah, that's
you'd
what
be just like, yeah. Does Kevin Pollak literally do the thing where he goes, and I think it might go something like this, and then turns around?
I wouldn't doubt it. Maybe because he wears a hat.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he puts the hat in front of his
face. That would be, I would become a huge fan of him if he took that hat that, it's funny how guys start wearing hats like that when they get a little older. What's that
like
all
him.
About?
I don't like it.
You don't like hats? No. You know who only, the only hat wearer I like, other than Kevin, of course?
Great hat.
It's Lance Bangs.
He works the hat.
Lance wears the hat very well.
Yes.
That white chapeau, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like that white shirt, the white chapeau. Lance pulls it off.
Yeah.
Kevin Pollak, not so much.
No, Kevin Pollak didn't direct Nirvana music videos.
No. He did. Well, what if he did?
What
though?
If he did?
What if he's like, I guess you never saw my video for Heart-Shaped Box. And you're like, what? You did that? And he's like, excuse me, we're going to need this kid to go and look super. Like, he's directing the video as Columbo. Like, Kurt Cobain at the peak of depression. It's like, who are... Is this guy just gonna do Columbo all day?
And one more thing.
Yeah.
Kurt.
Yeah, he's leaving. And he just turns around. So what made you move here, Claire?
A lot of reasons. Some too personal for internet radio.
Okay.
But
internet radio? Well, that I don't like that.
What is it? Call
it radio.
It's on the web.
Well, so's other radio shows.
Podcast. Can I call it a podcast?
It is a radio show that is turned into a podcast. Okay. Sure.
On the Entertainment Center. That mm-hmm. is the best show.
Okay.
Thank
you. I like that.
I don't know. I just moved here because I wanted to. And I came into some money. A nice cash flow. Don't tell anybody about it.
Well, yeah.
Don't tell anybody how much money I have.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that might not be the... Look, you might not want to go on internet radio and tell everybody about that, Claire.
Mm-hmm. And, I've always wanted to live here.
Okay.
And I decided to move here finally.
And now you are in... Let me see if I can guess which borough. Hold on. Let me see. Let me think. Not Manhattan. I'm going to rule that out. Not the Bronx.
No. Getting close.
Not Staten Island.
Farther away.
I'm going to say... Brooklyn. I'm going to say Brooklyn.
Yeah, I love Brooklyn.
You're in Brooklyn.
Brooklyn. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You know, no one talks like that in Brooklyn. I'm in Brooklyn. It's no, everybody's like, what people say in Brooklyn now is like, yeah, I lived in somewhere and then I got my hands on some money and then now I live here.
But then I felt the need to call it like, say it like that. Brooklyn.
Yes.
So I don't seem like a poser.
Oh.
With the Bank of America.
The person who's talking like that is saying, you know, I used to live here, and then these kids come in, and now I can't afford my home. Oh, now I live 4.5 hours outside of New York City. Oh, Brooklyn, where I used to be. I had this place, and then this comedian from San Jose, she said she came into some money, and now that's...
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
yeah.
Sorry. I'm not being mean to you, am I?
No.
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 Look, throw some of that money my way is all I'm trying to say. Some of this money you came into. What's that now?
Do you guys eat meat?
Yeah. Sure. Okay. Give me the good stuff. Provolone. Is that a meat?
No.
Provolone.
That's a cheese.
Yeah.
Provolone's a cheese. Prosciutto. Is a meat. That is what? Ham-based, right?
That's a thinly sliced...
Pig.
Ham. Pig.
It's a thinly sliced pig.
Ham.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So, you're here.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how are you enjoying being here in terms of, because you were a stand-up comic.
That's true.
And an actor.
Oh, my God.
But we're going to talk about the stand-up comic part of things first.
Thank God.
The scene in L.A.
Let's talk about it.
Everybody's friends. Everybody's just doing stand-up looking to turn this into a show. How can my thing be a show? Right?
Yeah.
Here it's all down and dirty. Right? Here it's just, I'm in the scene.
Yeah. I just came out of a trash can.
How many sets you do tonight?
Mm-hmm.
10. Why? What's wrong? Only 10?
I can't do nothing else.
Yeah. So you, are you kind of getting kind of enmeshed in the scene now, stand-up wise?
I guess. And by that I mean I've met maybe 10 people.
So 2.5 months, you've met 10 people.
I did go to Ireland for 2 weeks. So
okay.
That got me out of the scene.
So that doesn't count.
I couldn't do my sets.
Yes.
My 6 sets a night.
So Ireland. Why'd you go to Ireland?
Just to go.
Had you been there before?
No, I wanted to. Again, I came into some money. And,
this
I
money, wanted to, it's like.
Again, I still have money. And I just wanted
to. You really need to stop bringing up this money that you came.
Let's just say I had enough money to move to New York and also go to Ireland for 2 weeks.
Sure.
Where the euro is strong.
Okay.
So I did spend too much money.
So, yes. I'm getting the feeling of that this I came into some money narrative might not be an evergreen for you. Might just be like, I had come into some money. It'll be like all in the past tense.
Yeah.
Boy, you should have seen me back then. I had come into some money. It's like, yeah, that was 7 months ago. It's August.
I got no money to be in anymore.
Yeah. Remember when I had that money I came into? Yeah. A lot of it's back in Ireland. It's in euro form now.
Uh-huh.
So Ireland, that was your first time there?
First time to visit my roots,
mm-hmm.
and just to see what it was like. It's quite beautiful.
Okay, yes. It's very green from what I hear.
Yeah.
Right? A lot of crumbling stone, huts.
All the huts are crumbling.
Like a stone hut that's falling apart that no one has. Because it's amazing that it's like we made this hut out of stone.
Mm-hmm.
400 years ago,
mm-hmm.
that there's a point where, like, now it's like, oh, look at that cool old thing made of stone. But there must have been a stretch where people were just like, are you going to knock that thing over? It's falling down. Before it's, like, ancient and just everyone's just mesmerized by how old. There's going to be a point when it's, like, 30 years old and people are just like, this place is a dump. That stone thing is falling over. Mm-hmm. It looks like garbage.
Mm-hmm.
Is somebody going to take care of that? No,
No. The stones are too heavy.
And if they're just like, just wait 400 years. Don't touch that falling stone structure. 400 years from now, that thing's going to be cool.
It's a real tourist trap, those stone huts.
those tilted stone huts in the middle of a shire? Is it a shire or no, it's not a shire.
It's essentially, they have villages.
Okay.
Yeah, no, shires are for the Brits.
Yeah. So what would it be like what do you call it? No, that's worse. You did bug eyes, and now you closed your eyes. And I didn't want you to do that. Now you closed your eyes, and I'm actually preferring when the bug eyes, when you're doing that. So what would it be then? Like a field? What do they call it?
Like marsh? No, wet.
That's wet. So a wet Mike?
Yeah.
You've read books and stuff. What is it called? Like a field in Ireland. What? A key.
A heath.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds.
Mm-hmm.
A meadow. But a town. If a town was a meadow.
So you were there. You had a good time.
Had a great time. Lots of Best Show fans in Ireland.
No.
Tons.
Seriously?
Huge Best Show fan.
That's great. Did you meet the guys from SoCal?
Yes. It's
They're nice guys.
Exactly.
There was another band I saw when I was in Memphis, when I was at Goner Fest. There was a band from Ireland I saw whose name I'm blanking on right now.
Probably from Galway.
I think it might have.
If I might have the book. Look. I actually stole the pro
Honor Fest program in
Check
my bag still. Watch this. Watch me read.
Okay.
I'm not good at it, so this might take a while.
Do you need glasses yet? Are you at that point in your life?
I sometimes, yeah, sometimes no.
Mm-hmm.
O Boland. O H and then B O L A N D. And they are from Tuam, Ireland.
I don't know.
They were great. They were so good.
He was telling me about when he went to Goner Fest, I think.
Yes.
SoCo, I think it's pronounced.
SoCo, yes.
Yes.
Which here means you'd like a southern comfort, right? SoCo. No, I meant to just say so. You're here.
Yes.
You're hanging out with all the mean New York stand-ups, right?
Just me and one's Nick DiPaolo.
One's meaner than the next, mm-hmm. and they're just like... You, in L.A., you were doing stand-up, and everybody's just like, did you write that script yet? I'll give you notes on your script, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then here, they're just like, what do you want, stupid?
Yeah, people just keep calling me stupid all the time.
He's just like, you're like, things just like, shut up, stupid. Hey, we're breaking you in.
Yeah. They love to give the business.
I'm so scared of them. I'm so scared of these New York stand-ups.
They're scary.
Right?
But I think they're pretty squishy.
Yelled at by
heart.
Rich Voss.
You got yelled at?
No, I don't want to. I'm scared of it. Right? Right, Mike? You get it.
He's just a guy.
Yeah, but they're all just guys.
They're all just guys.
But I'm still scared of them. I'm scared. I get scared easily. I was... somewhere last night, couldn't be more vague, about, and then somebody came up alongside me and was like calling to their friend, and I almost had a heart attack because they went like, hey, and then I wasn't ready for it. And I went like, oh, I'm so good. Like, I get so like no peripheral vision.
Yeah.
Like myopic.
Mm-hmm. Good word.
Thank you. So, Claire,
mm-hmm.
you are not just a comedian. You are an actor.
It's the truth.
Yes. And you did some acting recently, right?
Yes, I did.
I'm not going to talk about specific stuff. That's your business. But there's an Amazon thing you did, right?
It's on, yeah, everybody right? can see it.
Yeah. It's like one of those pilots
yeah.
that they run.
Yeah, and before. If enough people watch it mm-hmm. and like it.
Okay, well that...
Please watch the pilot.
Yeah. We did a thing on Amazon. If you could just... It's like, wait, it's Amazon. You're acting like this is like a little clubhouse.
No.
We get a website. It's called Amazon. If you check... Be kind enough to go to our little channel at Amazon. Now, what is the pilot called?
It's called Budding Prospects, directed by Terry Zwigoff.
Yes, the guy who did Crumb.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And Ghost World. And Bad Santa.
Part one, not part
not
two.
Not part two.
No.
The guy who wrote Bad Santa 2.
Mm-hmm.
I think Doug Allen from Entourage fame.
No way.
I'm pretty sure he at least co-wrote Bad Santa 2.
With 8 other people?
Let's see. Bad Santa 2. Let's check this out. Bad Santa 2. Writers. 2 more credits. Full. See? No, he didn't. How about that?
Who did it?
Oh, Johnny Rosenthal and Shauna Cross and Glenn Ficarra and John Racquois.
Oh.
You know. Well, it's based on characters by Glenn Ficarra and John Racquois.
Okay.
Which means were not asked back
sure.
to work on Bad Santa 2.
But they got the credit.
They got the credit. The best thing that could have happened to them was they get the money. For Bad Santa 2, and they don't have to work on Bad Santa 2.
Yeah.
But they get paid as if they were there.
God, the biz.
Why can't I get a thing like that?
You could.
Right?
I think you keep S-ing on all these projects.
Is that what is? Is
I
that
think
it?
That's what it is.
So somewhere you're saying that John Requah and Glenn Ficar are just like crossing my name off a list now because I just said something about Bad Santa 2?
Yeah.
Is it too negative here? Is that what it is?
I mean,
because you know that bright, that L.A. thing where everybody's just like, I tease people a little bit. That's all I do.
Mm-hmm. L.A. can't handle that.
You tell me I couldn't do like a puppet on the one Mystery Science Theater thing. Jonah Ray wouldn't let me do a puppet on it, on his 8 shows.
They only got 2 puppets.
But there couldn't be like a friend or something?
No. Right?
Well, let me work one of those puppets.
Like
Gumball,
physically.
Right? Let me work Gumball.
Mr. Gumball?
Mr. Gumball and Bird, the Bird. Mr. Gumball and the Bird. Is it too negative here? Am I not playing the game? Am I not playing the game correctly, Clara O'Kane?
I don't think you're playing the game, but you're playing by your own rules, which people appreciate. I like it.
Does it scare? Well, you can't hire me, though. Look, sure, you came into some money. Everybody knows that.
Listen.
Wait, are you going to tell me more about the money you came? What if the money you came into was $400 and you kept talking about this money you came into and it's just like, finally, it's like, how much money are you talking about? Like, you want to see it?
You know,
and you have all of it on you. You're like, 20, 40.
But it's still in an envelope.
Yeah. You're just like, you're like, hold on. Like, take the envelope. It just got dollar signs written all over it.
It's not far off.
Don't.
I'm not.
If you're like, check this money out. You rip the envelope open and just like 100, 200, 300, 50, 70, 80, 85, 90, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and here's some coins. It gets me almost to 400.
I'm rounding up.
And I'm going to Ireland. I'm going to New York City. And it's like, that is not a whole lot of money. Clara O'Kane at Baby's First Gun.
That's uncouth to talk about how much money you have, isn't it?
It really is,
yes. I think it is.
And you know who...
I didn't mean to do that.
No, it's funny you're doing it. It's like, you know who talks about... Who doesn't talk about how much money they have? People with a lot of money never talk about how much, like, it just, like, they're never just like, and then I got paid $7,400 to do the thing. You should have seen. They paid me I worked on it for 4 days and I got $7,400. Like, they're like, well, you are.
No, I'm poor. Therefore, yeah. I'm excited and I'd like to tell people about it.
You're just like, wait, I'm coming into some money. What? Boy, I can't wait to tell everybody about this money. And meanwhile, somebody who's super rich, they're just always like, I don't have any. I'm broke.
Yeah.
And then you find out, it's like, you're not broke.
You've got pinball machines.
Yes. You've got an airport hangar filled with pinball machines. And then you're just like, they're like, oh, that's, I'm probably going to have to sell all that stuff. It's like, are you going to have to? No. I'm going to buy more of them, really. Really, I'm going to just buy more stuff. So you're here.
Yes.
What's the plan for 2017? What's on your vision board?
I'm trying to infiltrate the scene.
Okay.
What? Mm-hmm. What's so funny about it?
Well, infiltrate.
I'm trying to infiltrate the scene.
Okay.
I can't.
All right.
What's a better way to say that?
I'm withdrawing my laugh. And you're trying to infiltrate the scene.
Yeah.
I think the word "trying" is what made me laugh, and that is because it seems very modest to say, like, well, I'm just trying to infiltrate the scene. I think that's what made me laugh. So you're trying to infiltrate the scene.
Yes. Get on some more shows, you know. Just get better at comedy.
Mm-hmm.
Get that New York style going.
Yeah. Where you can just start. You see the new person come and you just go, what are you looking at, stupid?
Yeah.
Like, that's the day. And then Jim Norton gives you a thumbs up, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or Jim Norton says to you, that person looks pretty dumb, huh? And then you go, yeah, what are you looking at, dummy?
Yeah.
And then he goes, good job. Yeah. And I'm not putting Jim Norton down. No. He seems like a nice guy.
I'm trying to be part of that tough crowd, I think. That's what I'm...
Yeah.
That's the plan.
The tough crowd?
Yeah.
So now what's the thing that the thing I'm doing is people are saying things that I like and they're trying to talk me out of them.
I was thinking about I'm trying to do the opposite.
You want to convince me to like something.
I want to convince you to like something.
And let me give some context for my friendship. Can I say friendship?
Yeah.
With you. How many years? 4 years ago? 4 years.
Was that 4 years ago?
It had to have been at least four years,
when
right?
When I first moved to L.A.
4 years ago.
Let's go back.
LACMA. The Los Angeles County Museum of Art.
Mm-hmm.
And like all museums of art, they had a thing about movies at it.
Mm-hmm.
A guy who made movies.
Mm-hmm.
So they had a thing of Stanley Kubrick at the exhibit. And then I met you. You said hi to me.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was like, oh, hi, how are you? That's nice. And we had a nice conversation, right? Mm-hmm. And you were saying you were just moving to Los Angeles.
Yes.
And I seemed all right, right? I didn't seem like...
No, you were approachable.
Okay.
But I did follow you around...
Oh, see, this I didn't know.
...museum. Okay. I went back through the entire...
Backwards.
So I was talking to my boyfriend. And I was like, should I say hi?
Yeah. So you went back, so you're like, eyes wide shut, back... Past. All right, let's go past. Gotta go
back. The twins. Go yeah. Past the twins.
All right, we're going back through the Full Metal Jacket. There's the typewriter again. And there's the dresses from the twins. Okay. There's the big camera from, what was the big camera from Barry Lyndon?
Uh-huh.
There was like that enormous lens. Mm-hmm. That's just like. And then, look, he's over there. He's looking at the Clockwork Orange chair.
So, they had a couple of chairs.
Yeah, that we looked at already. Mm. He's looking at the naked lady chair. So you went over, you were talking, and it was very nice.
Yeah.
And then the next time I met you was here.
No.
No, wait.
San Francisco.
That's right, San Francisco at the Sketch Fest, because you mm-hmm. were there.
I was privy.
When I went into the elevator and said to Patti Smith...
Right before I think you went into the elevator.
So you could have stopped me.
I know.
To be fair, I did not say to you, I'm going to ask her what, if she ever saw Humble Pie back in the, I would hope you would have stopped me if I said that's what I was going to do.
I had a feeling you were going to say something stupid. But we were sitting in the lobby and she walked mm-hmm. past and you go, that's Patti Smith.
That's the fourth time I've seen her walk past in the last day and a half.
Yeah.
And I'll say this. To be fair to myself, because I have to learn to be nicer to myself, I'm my own worst critic. I'm my own, some would say, my own worst enemy.
Hmm.
And you know who would say that? Me. I'm like that song by Lit.
That's a good song.
It's no surprise to me. I am my own worst enemy.
Because
every now and then, I kick the living bleep out of me. Do you remember where we were the time I parked my car? Isn't that something about parking a car?
The
car is on the front lawn.
Yeah.
And I'm sleeping with my clothes on. It's a good karaoke song. So, to be fair to me, my father had died 2 weeks before that. I was not in my right mind. I was like, going to San Francisco Sketch Fest. Then suddenly, wow, that's a change in how I look at everything.
Oh, life in general.
Yeah, and I'm just like, I guess I'm still going to go to San Francisco. I don't know what else to do. I'll just stay here and stare at the water. I guess I should still go. They're going to do a nice thing, a tribute thing. And then I saw Patti Smith 4 times in the hotel. I'm going to say not my absolute right mind.
That's okay. Right? I don't think it was that bad of a thing. I think you're blowing it up.
Thank you. Well, it's not my greatest moment.
Sure.
But it happened. We own the things that happened.
Yeah.
And we move on, right?
Is that a diet, Dr. Pepper?
It is a diet, Dr. Pepper. You should try this stuff.
I have.
It's my favorite soda.
Soda?
Yeah.
My favorite is Dr. Pepper, which is normal.
You like the strong stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to realize this is pretty natural. It's water.
Okay.
Everybody likes water.
That soda is pretty natural.
Let me walk you through the ingredients. Water. The lifeblood of humanity. Second only to caramel. Which I'm actually troubled to see is the second ingredient on this.
Followed by?
Oh, something called aspartame, which I think causes Alzheimer's, if I remember correctly. But don't worry. Phosphoric acid.
Oh, to balance it out.
Yes. And then the word natural comes up, and right after it, the word artificial, which kind of negates the word natural. Flavors, sodium, salt.
Yeah.
Again, lifeblood. If this was Dune, people killed in the thing Dune for spices like salt. I don't know if they killed for sodium benzoate.
Is there xanthan gum in there?
There is not. There is caffeine also.
I guess it's still caffeinated, but it is diet.
Yes. Well, to be fair, somebody said I thought Tom quit on soda, and I did. Well, apparently I relapsed, but I only have a soda a couple times a week. I don't drink soda regularly. I drink it here before the show. I drink it when I wake up. I only have a quick soda when I wake up. I have a
Sunkist
because it's like orange juice, right? It's like orange juice, so I have a quick Sunkist. Then I get up, have some hot soda. Room temperature Sunkist, hot Diet Dr. Pepper, hot. I heat it up.
Like a coffee.
Like coffee. Mm-hmm. It's my coffee.
Okay, I get it.
Then I have coffee. Mm-hmm. Then, what are you guys talking about out there? I hear too much chit-chat. I'm telling you. Oh, well, okay. They're talking about Sammy Hagar.
Oh, we were talking about Vince Neil's Tattooado.
Okay.
How I tried to get the toilet. I went out of my way when I was in Vegas to find the toilet, and they said they didn't sell them anymore.
They don't. I know. I was so in the flesh when I saw I couldn't get one of those $40 toilet drinks.
Do you think it's because it's too gross?
I think that Las Vegas must have realized even here there are limits. And there is no way that this can stay here.
Yeah.
Like, what happens here stays here. This toilet, people coming here and drinking 40 ounces of just anything we pour into this plastic toilet is unfair to our town's slogan.
You can wear around your neck if you choose to.
Yes. You could walk through the casino of Circus.
Just cradling.
The dumpiest of all of Las Vegas.
For sure.
It's the hotel that Hunter Thompson went to. It was the one that he made fun of for being kind of dumpy when he wrote his book, Fear and Loathing, in 1970. So, and now here people are posting pictures of the toilet. The hanging toilet.
Yeah, we were looking at that earlier.
So, your friend here.
Kev.
Yeah. Kev. Mm-hmm. Not looking at him?
Please don't.
I invited you?
Yeah.
I didn't invite him.
No, this is my time.
He might be the nicest guy on earth. Is he funny?
Yeah, he's
Let's talk about him like he's not here.
Okay. This guy, He's from the Midwest, so
okay.
He's nice.
Okay.
He's a comedian.
Mm-hmm.
He's got tattoos. Okay. That tells you a lot about a person.
Sure. Yes.
He likes rock and roll.
Okay, he likes good old-fashioned rock and roll.
Johnny B. Good.
Sure. It's Johnny B. Good.
All different versions of Johnny B. Good.
He just likes Johnny B. Good. It's pretty much all he likes.
Mm-hmm. He's a good guy.
Now, this Kevin, it's Kevin O'Brien.
Yeah.
How are you? We've talked before. Yeah. But I was on your show.
Yeah.
Because you do a show. Here, talk into the microphone.
All right.
He's got the cans on.
He's ready to
go. I'm an old vet. Yeah.
How are you, Kevin?
I'm doing great.
Kevin, you used to do a podcast
in
Denver.
Yeah.
Right?
Why'd you say it like that?
Because I wasn't sure if it was Denver.
Oh,
I knew it was Colorado.
Sure.
But as I said it, I knew it was Denver because my friend Neil Haggerty from Howling Hex and Royal Trucks and Pussy Galore, one of the all-time greatest rock guitarists ever, and just guitarists ever, had an album called Denver about the city he calls home now. And I knew your show was there.
Yeah.
And the name of your show used to be...
Things Matter Podcast.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's still called... Actually, it didn't used to be called that.
Well, it's over now.
It's still called that, but it just... You don't make them anymore.
No, yeah.
Why did it stop?
I moved to New York City.
Moved here.
So you killed your co-host, Taylor. You didn't literally kill her. You killed her dreams.
Oh, okay, yeah. I didn't want to get into any legal trouble by admitting...
He came into some money.
Yeah, somebody handed me $400, and I was like, it's time to hit the Big Apple.
This money is, look out. Sorry, I'm out with this podcast. I'm going to go where all the big podcasts are.
Yeah.
New York City.
Well, I heard there was no podcasts out here, so I figured I'd bring them to New York.
There aren't nearly as many. Why is L.A.? Was it just because they centralized the podcast? They were the first to say, here's a podcast studio and here's a podcast network.
Yeah, I think so.
Right? That's what it is.
Yeah. Nerdest.
The Nerdest.
Mm-hmm.
There's a Wolf Man.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And they've got the thing that's like comedy.
Mm-hmm.
Comedy. What's it called? Comedy, comedy.
Comedy, comedy, wow, wow.
Comedy, comedy, wow, wow. And then they've got Who Makes This Bleep, right? How did this bleep? No, your thing was called Why Does Stuff Get Made?
No.
What was it called now?
These Things Matter.
These Things Matter.
Yeah.
And you did it for 4 years?
5 years.
5 years.
Yeah.
And your co-host, Taylor Gonda.
Who I murdered.
Who has been in this studio.
Yeah.
And you're here now doing your stand-up.
Yeah.
And what's the end game, Kevin? What's the power play here?
Some
people come here trying to infiltrate the system. What brought you here?
I'm also trying to infiltrate the system.
Mm-hmm.
Claire moved out a month later. I was like, let me piggyback on trying to infiltrate the system.
So you guys are like full on, like, this is like Rage Against the Machine level.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's
an affront.
We're
barnstorming New York City.
Because remember that one Rage Against the Machine song where they're just like, when he's like, and then we're trying to infiltrate the system.
Oh, I mean, is that every?
Yeah, but he said he was trying to infiltrate it. It was like, boom, boom, boom. I'm going to try to infiltrate the system.
I'm trying really hard.
I came into some money. I'm going to try to infiltrate the system. Boom, boom. Mike, who's good here?
Three.
Mike says three is good. Best show.
Hi, Tom. It's Matt from Oakland. How are you?
Oh, my goodness. It's Matt from Oakland. How are you, Matt?
I'm sorry. I was listening to the show live. I'm a bit delayed.
You're a bit delayed. Okay. Well, I'm here with... my friends, Claire O'Kane, comedian Claire O'Kane, and comedian Kevin O'Brien.
What's up?
From Denver.
From Denver.
Yeah, yep.
They're both from New York now.
That's fantastic.
So what's going on, Matt?
Did you hear about Jay Giles?
I heard Jay Giles died today.
What?
Yes.
Not Peter Wolf, the singer. Jay Giles was the guitarist in the Jay Giles band.
Oh.
He was the namesake, but he wasn't the singer.
Let me just say this, first of all.
Like Santana?
The two of you.
We were shocked that we didn't even know.
First of all, the two of you went, what? At the same time. And then when you found out he was just the guitarist, yeah. You both at the same time went, like you were shocked and then disappointed. So, yes, he did die. Now,
a bummer.
Matt, this Rock and Roll Hall of Fame thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who's eligible next year? Anyone you can think of?
I'm still hung up on Jonathan Richmond.
Oh, yeah.
That he needs to get in? They should put that album in. They should make him, unless he plays that album, he can't come in. He'll be the first artist that only the album goes in.
He could play. Play Roadrunner a bunch. That'd be cool, I guess.
Right?
Yeah.
What are you uncorking there, buddy? What are you? That was you were uncorking something, right? That's
no.
That's somebody taking a swig.
You're drinking out of a moonshine jug.
Yeah. What are you in a parking lot?
He's got X's in his eyes.
Well, I was going to ask you.
Is that your medicine?
Speaking of medicine, how you feeling? I know you were having some physical issues. You doing all right?
I'm fine. 100% now. I'm 99%. Right now, 98%. How do I feel? 97%. On a scale of 1 to 82, how am I feeling? I don't know. Oh, the dance we do, Matt. The dance we do.
Right. Well, I was going to ask you, and I mean this in all seriousness, and it's not trying to be provocative, but do you smoke weed?
Nah.
Because I don't know what
pills
the status of it is.
That my doctor gives me, right?
Yeah, no, but right? I don't know what the status of it is in New Jersey, but, you know, there's non-psychoactive marijuana, CBD, it's really good, and it's helpful, especially as an anti-inflammatory. I have a totally jacked up neck, so.
Totally jacked up neck sounds like you're working out too much. I think I might be able to give you the prescription to that, right? Stop hitting the heavy weights. So.
Yeah,
look, I'm fine. I went and utilized this thing called. It's a thing that there's this guy, Dr. Sarno, right? Do you know about this?
No.
How what's that now? Yeah, you can give him $5. What? No, tip $400. The same amount Claire has. What's that? You can say it. Just say it. Oh, yeah, gotcha. 100%. Okay. What were we saying? So this thing where all my back pain was caused by all the stress I had with work and that I don't have it now, right?
And is that causing you additional stress or less?
It caused all the stress, not additional stress, all of it.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad that you're 99%. That's good news because we would be lost without you, my friend.
What if I said to you on a scale of 1 to 200, I was 182%? What would you say to that?
I would say that's a pretty random arbitrary number to pick.
But what if I said, it's not a random arbitrary number?
Can I, when Nolan called earlier, I kind of got an idea. Can I draft off of him and try to convince you to like something that you don't like?
What's that? Go ahead.
You seem really averse to people getting Best Show tattoos.
I just want to make sure that they give it some thought before they do. I know people with Best Show tattoos, and I love it. All I want, and I would want this for anybody getting any tattoo, is just make sure you're sure of the tattoo. But then again, when Marc Jacobs talked all about his tattoos, like, you ever see Marc Jacobs' tattoos?
No. Yeah.
Like his tattoos, he went and he's like the fashion dude who went, he like lost all this weight, got super ripped, and they started getting all these tattoos, And he goes and gets a tattoo of like the M&M guys, like the like literally,
like from the commercial.
Yeah, like from
both
the commercial. Yeah, and then people are like, they said to him, "You sure about that M&M tattoo?" And then he said, "You know what? If I regret it, I'll figure that out. Maybe I'll never regret it. I don't know, but I want it. I got it. I'm not going to not get it because I might regret it down the road. Because maybe I won't regret it."
And I can't judge that.
It made perfect sense.
I have a Bob Newhart tattoo.
Hold on.
Have you seen it?
Yeah.
No. Oh, it's not a picture of him.
No,
it
says
Bob
it's
Newhart.
Still his full name. Uh-huh.
That's. And what made you get Bob Newhart's tattoo?
I was drunk. I don't know.
Okay.
And it was
with
free.
Bob Newhart?
No. I was just.
I have a lot of really questionable tattoos, so I don't mind getting another one. And
Matt,
what's
your favorite tattoo you've got?
Probably any of the tattoos that I have of bands.
Okay.
Like, my favorite bands.
Like
Jawbreaker?
I have a Jawbreaker tattoo.
Kevin has a
around
Jawbreaker.
My elbow. Yeah.
Right here. He's
really?
Got a Jawbreaker tattoo. Yeah.
4Fs, right?
No, I almost got the 4Fs, but instead I got a lyric around my elbow.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
So good. I have a Jawbreaker tattoo. I have a Rocket from the Crypt tattoo. I have a
can't get in the shows
tattoo.
Anymore with that thing.
No, they're...
At first, Rocket from the Crypt were like, anybody gets a tattoo of our logo, you get into our shows for free for life. And then suddenly, they were not counting on a day where everybody was just like, yeah, tattoos are nothing to be concerned about or to like, it's not a big deal at all. So people start getting tattoos and suddenly they're like, we had 2 paying customers tonight at the show. Like, sold out show again. Where's the money? And then they take out an envelope, almost the kind of money that Claire O'Kane flashes around in her fancy money.
Well, she came into some money, right?
Yeah.
She came into some money.
Yeah.
Yeah, she came into some money. I heard that, yeah.
So you got the guys from the crypt dividing up $400.
Probably like $20.
Well, I saw John Speedo from Rocket from the Crypt, and I didn't get that tattoo till later in life. It wasn't in the 90s when I got it, and I saw him. And I showed him, I was very proud, and he said, hey, you know, it's not the 90s anymore, right?
Yeah.
And that made me feel kind of bad about myself.
Look. Well, it isn't the 90s anymore. Let me ask you one thing before I let you go, Matt. Steve Aoki, you friends with him, right? By way of other people? You're 2 degrees away from
Steve Aoki. He's around.
He's ever thrown a cake in your face?
No, that's so gross because dairy after it dries smells terrible.
Yeah, imagine you're at a thing, he whips a cake in your face, and you can't wash it off for another 11 hours, and you're like at some EDM thing with cake drying on you.
But real quick before you got me, can I ask you about the tattoo that I was talking about getting?
Yeah, please do.
Okay. So, a friend of mine who is probably listening, and she's a huge fan, as I am, Sammy in Chicago, and I was with her this weekend. We decided to get friends tattoos,
mm-hmm.
and she's going to get Vance, and I'm going to get Gary.
Oh, my God. That is awesome.
That's good.
Okay.
For you,
I don't need to convince
you. No, I support it. No, because you are in it already. I support it. You're a grown-up. All right, buddy.
Somewhat, yeah. All right, well, thank you.
I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Claire.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
Doesn't say goodbye to the guy with the fellow.
I thought we were emo brothers. Wow. And then he's give me a shout.
Sometimes.
Oh, jeez.
So, let me go back to the phones. Best show. Hello?
Yeah, hello?
Hello?
Hi, is this Tom?
It is Tom. You're here. It's the best show. I'm here. With comedian Claire O'Kane. Who's this?
Wait, Claire O'Kane, not the actress that doesn't wear pants.
Yeah, that's me.
I love your work. I think it's great that you're the only pantsless actress.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks.
You know, I'd love to get you in one of these spots that I'm working on.
What kind of spot? What are you talking about?
Well, I'm down here in Melbourne, Australia. I work for the Smithwick and Chauncey agency, and we're doing some Qantas spots down here. I should come clean and say that I am the guy that greenlit the Kendall Jenner Pepsi spot. I've been exiled basically down here.
Sure. So you've been run to a different continent within a week.
You know what's really tough about it? They wouldn't even put me on a plane. I got barged. They have these barges now that leave out of Newbridge that have like compartments where you can actually kind of sleep.
Uh-huh.
But they're not cushy. They're not cushy.
Well, but you're okay now?
Well, I'm kind of PO'd for sure.
Mm-hmm. Sure. I get it.
But that's what I'm actually blowing off some steam. I'm on the Jerry Spizer Melbourne Rock Walk tour.
Okay. The Jerry Spizer Melbourne Rock Walk. What is on the Rock Walk tour?
Well, we just checked out the huge oak tree where Nick Cave and Tracy Pugh rammed their first stolen car.
Okay.
So that's exciting. But
sure.
The reason I'm really calling is to warn you about something.
You're warning me about it?
Yes.
Okay. What are you warning me about?
Well, do you know about Albert Productions? Albert Productions, you know, is the production house / studio where AC/DC made a lot of their early records.
Okay.
Well, Jerry took me there to kind of check out the place, do a little tour of it, and it was really fun. But I got to say, those guys are all really mad at you.
Why would they be mad at me?
Well, apparently you were talking smack last week about AC/DC.
Yeah, I mean, I was saying that. I said a fair amount of yeah.
Well, they're really mad, and like they circle the wagons when that stuff happens. Even though I guess you were busting on Brian Johnson, it doesn't matter.
Because I was saying that I didn't want anybody wearing like a newsy cap in my bands.
Yes.
I like that. I don't like
it's.
Yeah.
It's doubly bad because they have stock in these newsboy caps.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So, basically, they're going to beat you up.
But who's going to beat me up?
Everybody, like all the Youngs, all the Vandas.
Oh, no.
They are. And the thing is, they're all really tiny. But what they do, you've heard of a flash mob, right?
Sure. Yeah.
They do what's called a flash monster. Where they'll just like pile up on one another until they're like a 12-foot high monster.
So then
they just wail.
Mm-hmm.
So they said they're gonna monster you.
So they're gonna. So but are they coming here to America or are they hoping I come to Australia?
No, they're coming.
So they're coming.
They chartered a plane.
So I need to watch out for a bunch of people in their 60s and 70s coming to.
I told you they pile upon each other, and it's a formidable force.
Oh,
I've seen photos.
Well, I need to watch out for the rock monster.
Yeah.
Well, I'm a little scared now, I have to say.
Oh, don't be.
Okay.
No, you should be. It's going to be bad. And also, they're bringing a dingo, too. It's the dingo that apparently bit some guy in some show in Perth. I don't know about it, but it's got flagrant rabies.
So they're bringing a rabid dingo into America.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's all sick down here, Tom.
Is it?
Yes.
I hope you're okay, though, and I'm sorry about how your ad went. That I wish it went better.
Oh, that's okay. Thank you.
I thought it was a winner. Well, I thought that for what it's worth, thought that ad campaign was a winner.
I'll be really honest. I didn't even read the script all the way. I just greenlit it. I was basically, I was having some new crisp shirts measured.
Okay.
Because now we tuck them.
Now you tuck the shirts.
We're taking a page from Wall Street, and we're tucking our shirts now.
Hmm. Okay. I think that's
crisp as ever.
The shirts are as crisp as ever, and I'm assuming not cheap.
Oh, no. No, $1,000 a shirt.
Okay. And you're tucking them, but they look casual and generic.
Very casual, very generic, but you would never know that they're $1,000 each.
Okay. Well,
yeah.
I hope you're okay.
Well, I'm doing okay. I'm very excited about our next stop,
which is
Greg Ham's Coffee Shop.
Greg Ham's Coffee Shop, the deceased multi-instrumentalist from Men at Work.
Yes, yes.
So it's a coffee shop he owned?
He did own it, yes. It's a museum, too.
Okay. So, Greg, it's a coffee shop and a museum honoring Greg Ham?
Just him. No one else in Men at Work.
That seems slightly, it seems very narrow.
Oh, okay. Well, Jerry was listening to that whole diatribe of yours just now. I guess you're going to get it from him, too.
Oh, no. No.
He's going to beat on those buns of yours with his drumsticks. He said he's going to do it.
No, I
so
don't.
So get ready to have those buns and probably your cane beaten.
Oh, stop it. Oh, no.
All right. Good day, mate.
Oh, okay. Good day to you, mate. bye. Oh, who's good here, Mike? One. Best show.
Hi, Tom. This is Manoli in Hayward, California.
Manoli?
Yes.
Hi, Manoli. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm well as well. Thank you. What do I owe the pleasure of this call, Manoli?
So I was getting so steamed thinking of Mike in the room listening to prog rock and how can you like prog rock? How can this, like, super druggy, but also, like, super straight-laced anti-drug, lame, pretentious, like, music, like, connect with you?
How can it?
Yeah.
I think there's something strangely earnest and sweet about how pompous it is.
I feel you.
And there's
go ahead. And isn't it like the inspiration? Isn't it like the antecedent to so much horrible music on top of it? Isn't it the genesis, pardon the pun, for so much bad stuff?
Like what? Like what's a bad thing it's responsible for?
Well, like modern jam bands, are they searching for
that has nothing to do. You want to blame you blame the Grateful Dead on that. Not modern. You don't blame prog rock on the modern jam bands. You like Guided by Voices. You like a fair amount of Genesis then. Gabriel era Genesis takes a page out of that book more. You don't know what you're talking about, Junior. I wish you the best of luck as you learn. And let me know when you level up on this. But until then, get off my phone. Best show. Best show. Hi. Hello. Best show. Hi.
Hi, Tom?
Yes.
Hey, this is Ryan.
Where are you calling from, Ryan?
I'm calling from Seattle.
What's up, Ryan?
I was just wanted to call and say hi. Hi to Claire and Kevin. I've met both of them before.
Ryan, where do we meet?
Yeah, Ryan.
When did we meet?
In Seattle.
Hey, I'll take that from her.
Okay.
Claire, I don't mean to say her, it's rude. Ryan's my guest right now.
Okay.
I can't even remember what your name is.
Ryan.
Don't say it.
I'm a...
Kevin. Yes. And we've met before.
Yes.
Not face to face.
No. Over the phone.
So, Ryan... I'm sorry I had to dress you down like that.
Oh, it's fine.
Kevin.
You know, I was kind of expecting it.
I love it.
What's up, Ryan? You met them. You're bragging about how you met them.
I remember you, Ryan.
Right?
Okay, cool. Yeah, I'm bragging a little bit. It's nice. I know two of those people. Yeah.
Sure. Okay, is that the point of the call?
No, Claire, when you went to Ireland, did you go to the Cliffs of Moher, big cliffs?
I did go to the Cliffs of Moher, and they were stunning.
Did you peek? Did you look over the edge? You're not supposed to because there's a sign that says you're not supposed to, but
I peeked most over the edge. It was quite terrifying, very high up. I could see a lot of accidents happening over there. It was really windy.
My envelope!
Yeah. Yeah.
My money! I kept my money in my back pocket.
No!
Just once all across the Irish Sea.
Don't keep it in your back pocket. I lost my wallet there. It's some more.
Yeah. You know which cliffs are less impressive there? The cliffs of Jay Moore are less impressive.
It's just a pale impersonation of a...
Kevin Pollak, the cliffs of Kevin Pollak. They both, if you do a Columbo impression, it echoes out and it comes back to you as a Christopher Walken impression.
It's kind of magical.
It sounds very magical. Thank you for the call.
I always get Jay Moore mixed up with the... who does Goat Boy?
Jim Brewer.
But for Jim Brewer.
Yeah, it's a pretty hot era on Saturday Night Live.
Goat Boy.
Now, Dudio, what would you think of this? Because first, can I talk about Alex Baldwin on this show, Dudio? Can you come here for 1 second? So anyway, this Alex Baldwin, he's like doing this Donald Trump, it's not that hard to do. But then What's-His-Face does one so much better, Anthony Tominook, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, that's
like
the best
100
one.
Times better.
Yeah.
But this Alex Baldwin is like this bully. The only reason he does an impression is because he's a bully like the guy. So he's like, he starts doing this thing, I don't know how many more times I can do the impression. Like he's starting to like, what's he waiting? No, please, don't go away. Don't stop doing it. But then he's writing a book, like, as if he's Donald Trump. Did you know that?
No.
What?
Yeah. He'll be doing this impression till the end of time. This, right? So he'll be like, it drives me, like, please don't go away. And then I saw this past week, he did, like, Bill O'Reilly. It's like this really bad Bill O'Reilly impression. Right. So he's just like, like, you're already out of your league there, impressionist, right? 10 years from now, this is not 10 years from now, I predict, and you mark this down, all of you mark this down, he will do a record which will be like the Trump Shuffle or something like that. He'll sing, like, this record's real huge. Like, this is going to be huge, number one record of all time.
The Trump Tango.
It'll be just like, well, that's the Trump Tango. So it'll be like, bump, 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 bump,
bump, bump, bump, bump, bump, bump.
Like, it's like a Trump Tango.
Tango's coming back.
Well, I didn't know that. See, now you got me thinking I'm like behind the curve. Now I'm like, the Tango's coming back. What? So, yeah, it just, and Dudio. What would you think about this? What if next week on this show, I came in here? Because look, this Saturday Night Live is very impressive. There's like 100 people work on each episode, right? Right? Okay. But what if I did an entire episode, not of Saturday Night Live. I don't have the, I can't call it. It's not on a Saturday, first of all.
Right, it's Tuesday.
And we just call it Variety Tuesday Live. But get this.
Okay.
I write the whole thing. I perform the whole thing. A one-man, 90-minute...
musical guest?
I'll be the musical guest. Maybe I won't do it next week. I'll do it the week after. But I'll write the whole thing. I'll do the sketches. I'll play every part in the sketches. What do you think of that?
I think you should do it.
You think I should?
That's a good idea.
I'm so excited right
now. You are?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no.
Dorio, come out and play. Dorio.
Hi, Gary.
Come out and play. Well, how's it going, old Dorio? How's it going, Gary?
I didn't say that in radio voice.
Mike! Yeah. Get in here. Now, Mike, what are you thinking, the scenic route? Take the mic away from that guy. Now, Mike.
Yeah.
We've had a lot of fights.
Amazing.
Is everybody using this headphone?
Gotta get my
camera. I'm 2 feet away from you.
Yeah, okay. I'm trying to be a professional.
How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good, Gary. How are you?
Yeah. There's ups and downs. Uh-huh.
Did you see that squirrel in North Carolina? On the news? Yeah, there's a squirrel that visits a ice cream store in North Carolina.
Yeah.
Gets a little treat every day. Comes in. Yeah, they have like a tiny little ice cream cone ready for this squirrel that comes in every day.
Yeah. Hey, Mike.
Could you do something like that?
Hey, Mike.
Yeah.
I live in Highland Park, New Jersey. I eat at Carvel like 2 times a week. Okay. See, they've been writing about me.
All right.
But you know what I wrote about you?
No, I don't know.
Because I'm sick of you being a flop.
Okay. Here we go.
And a failure.
All right.
With no discernible chance of ever getting out of the hole that you're in.
You're not altogether wrong.
So I did something.
Okay.
I wrote you a sitcom.
All right.
That you're going to be the star of.
This could be it. My big break?
Yeah.
All right.
And I wrote a part for you. Hey, Pat.
Where's Pat?
Pat.
Pat's indisposed.
He might have given up his part. Might have to give it to this sniff. I wrote a part for you.
Oh, no, I think he's coming. I just heard.
Uh-huh. Stop it.
Let's see you, Vamp.
Claire O'Kane!
Yes.
How are you?
I'm good, Gary.
Big fan.
Oh, thanks. From
big
what?
Big fan.
You like my stand-up?
Vice! From Vice!
Vice. Oh, wow. Thank you.
House Party!
Well, close.
What was it?
Flop House!
All right. I wrote a script. You're in it.
Okay.
It's called, you know when it's like a sitcom, Mike?
Yeah.
And it's like they take a page from like Ray Romano. Mm-hmm. When it's like his act, right?
Yeah.
So I wrote something based on you.
Okay.
It's called Jeers.
Jeers, okay. All right.
It's like, it takes place at a bar in Bayonne.
Okay, yeah.
Called Jeers.
Uh-huh.
Get it?
Yeah, I get it.
Jeers!
I get quite a few of those, actually.
Like, cheers!
Yeah.
But jeers!
Uh-huh.
You play AP Mike.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I think I can handle that.
All right, here's the part. Pat! Hey, Pat!
That's me.
You play Bootlegger Billy.
All right, thank you.
Claire?
Yeah.
You play Dolores.
Okay.
Hey, Dudio.
Yeah.
You're not in this thing, but you are the announcer.
Okay. What about Mickey?
Kevin can play Mickey.
All right.
You play Mickey. Is everybody clear on who they are?
Yes.
Who do you play, Dudio?
I play the announcer.
Pat.
Bootlegger Billy.
Mike.
AP Mike.
Kevin.
Mickey.
Claire.
Dolores.
Good, good. Now, this is set in Bayonne. Hold on. Gotta get my laugh track ready. Hold on. Hold on. Save. Let me add this sound. All right. Everyone listening at home, it is a return to yesteryear. When radio is where the shows happen. Without further ado, I give you the pilot episode of Cheers! Making your way in Bayonne takes everything you got. One wrong move and you're totally screwed. You'll end up stabbed or shot. Would you like to get away? Sometimes you wanna go where nobody knows your name. And they're never glad you came. Drinking so much till you can't see. Your troubles go down the drain. You wanna go where nobody knows your name. Drinking so much till you can't see. Till you can't feel no pain. You wanna go where nobody knows your name.
Cheers is filmed before a live...
Wait.
Man. That sounded so good.
Let it finish. Now, go. Do it.
Cheers is filmed before a live audience.
And keep... Set the table.
Interior. Bayonne Bar. A well-worn working man's bar. A few regulars sit around nursing beers. AP Mike is behind the bar.
All right, Mickey. You've been nursing that beer for hours now.
So I have.
Get closer to the mic. Swing the mic. He's only in this one scene. You can swing it back and forth.
So I have.
You've got two options. Either order another beer or get out.
Actually, I've got a third option.
Yeah, what's that?
Mickey throws up all over the bar.
Oh, I get it, my brother.
Oh, wait. It's on the back.
Double-sided. We're trying to save paper!
Thanks, Mike. Sorry, I didn't realize.
You weren't expecting that, were you?
Get out of here, you bum!
AP Mike starts wiping up the vomit with a dirty rag. Dolores, a tough bartender, sees Mike wiping up the barf and comments.
Tough break there, Mike. You always seem to get the barfers.
Yeah, well, at least he tipped me.
Mike proudly holds up a $100 bill.
100 big ones.
You might want to look a little closer at that bill.
Mike inspects the money.
Hold on. Who's on a $100 bill?
Ben Franklin. Why?
This one has Jim Belushi on it.
Oh, Mike, you dumb idiot.
Mike continues...
Wait. Won't be able to laugh at that.
Should I do it?
Do that line again, please.
Oh, Mike, you dumb idiot.
Hey, Anna, do it one more time.
Oh, Mike. Wait.
Do it now.
Oh, Mike, you dumb idiot.
Mike continues to wipe off the barf when the bar door flies open. Bootlegger Billy enters in a total panic.
I want you to play this more like Michael Richards.
Okay.
Like you're like the Kramer of this thing.
Okay. Hey, Mike, what's the good word?
SSDD.
Wait, hold on.
Oh, I get it, my brother.
So you got any new movies?
Oh, do I ever. Are you interested in John Wick 3?
John Wick 3? I thought they had only made two of those.
Well, they kind of did, but John Wick 3 is John Wick 1 and 2 on the same DVD. 1 plus 2 equals 3.
Hey, Billy.
Well, you guys really flatten that joke out. That's a good one.
Hey.
Go ahead.
Hey, Billy, you ever get any more, you know, racy fare?
Racy fare? You want to get some racy fare?
Get more on the mic. Move over. Hey, get on Dudio's mic. Mike, let Mike be on that one. Now you go over there. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. This is the stuff I'm into. The racy stuff. The racier, the better. I'm sick of the I'm sick for the racy stuff. I can't get enough of it. I'm broken in the brain. Bootlegger Billy, I'm broken in the brain.
Here you go, my friend.
Bootlegger Billy sets a movie on the bar.
Wait, this is Fast and Furious 6.
Hey, you wanted the racy stuff.
Get out of here, you bum.
Bootlegger Billy throws up on the bar and runs out of the bar.
Hold on, wait. Hold on. My old... Hey, go ahead.
If I know my barf, it looks like Bootlegger Billy was here.
Yeah, it sure was.
Mike pours himself a beer and takes a sip.
What is it about life, Dolores? Why is it so hard?
I don't know, Mike.
I believe Descartes said, by God, I understand a substance which is infinite,
no, don't.
Independent, supremely intelligent.
Wait,
okay, all right. You want me to start at the top? Okay. This is the first time I'm seeing this, you know. I believe Descartes said, by God, I understand a substance which is infinite, independent, supremely intelligent, supremely powerful, and which created both myself and everything else that exists. All these attributes are such that the more carefully I concentrate on them, the less possible it seems that they could have originated from me alone. So from what has been said, it must be concluded that God necessarily exists.
You might want to go easy on the comet. I think the fumes are getting to you.
Wait.
The bar door opens. In walks Gary the Squirrel.
Oh, my God. Is that who I think it is?
Yeah, that's Gary the Squirrel. I used to be pals with him. I wonder if he will remember me.
Still remember me. Do it again. It's important.
Yeah. Yeah, that's Gary the Squirrel. I used to be pals with him. And I wonder if we will still be friends. We still
do it again. Okay. From the top.
Okay. What is this turning into, Whiplash? Yeah. That's Gary the Squirrel.
I know, but the difference is the kid in Whiplash could drum.
Yeah. That's Gary the Squirrel. I used to be pals with him. I wonder if he will still remember me.
Hey, barkeep! I'd like to order a drink, please.
What can I get you, sir?
I'd like a Rob Roy. Hold the Rob!
Is that the longest laugh we've gotten? The Rob Roy joke, okay.
No, actually, I'll just have a cold beer.
What kind of beer?
What other kind would I get? Coors Light, my good man. How are you, Mike?
Oh, Gary, thank God you remember me. I had hoped that you would. I've been meaning to say to you that I'm sorry for all the mean things I said and did.
Mike sets down Gary's Coors Light, which he drinks.
Read that. Cut, cut it in half, Dudio.
Mike sets down Gary's Coors Light, which he drinks.
Okay, it's me next. No problemo, Mike. All is good with us. I tell you, success made all the difference for me. Once I got my hit TV show and started starring in movies and also got a talk show and had a hit album and wrote more best-selling books than I can count, all my worries about my competitors and haters went away.
I'm glad to hear it. I read all your books. Your latest book was my favorite, A Squirrel's Journey Into Night. The last book I enjoyed that much was Atlas Shrugged. Have you read Rand? Like, really read her?
I gotta go, Mike. I'll see you around.
Gary hands Mike's...
You're gonna laugh at me. You're gonna make a face.
Gary hands Mike some money and leaves.
At Gary the Squirrel. What a nice fella. He forgave me, and he gave me a huge tip. $500.
That Gary the Squirrel. What a nice fella. He forgave me.
Yeah, okay.
And he gave me a huge tip. Yeah. Do it again.
Okay, that's why you underline the word and. Okay. That Gary the Squirrel. What a nice fella.
Good, good.
He forgave me, and he gave me a huge tip. $500.
You might want to look closer at that bill.
Please tell me that Mike Love is on the $500 bill.
The end. The end.
The end! What do you think, Mike?
That's very good.
Good job, Mike.
What do you think?
I'd like to have some rehearsal time the next
Cheers.
Time.
We- yeah, okay. What am I, Mike Lee? Well, yeah. We generally have 4 weeks of rehearsal.
I want to get into my character.
What, are we on Broadway? Is this Pinter? Mike?
Very good.
Would you star in this?
Yes, I would.
Great. Dudio?
Yes.
Would you mind if we recast the announcer?
No, it's okay.
Pat, Bootlegger Billy was the breakout star.
Thank you. Please.
Claire. Mm-hmm. Or should I say, Dolores? Are you ready for people to not, to say, oh, it's Dolores?
Yeah, I think I'm ready.
Good, you're in. Kevin?
Yes.
Is there anyone you could think of who could play Mickey?
I mean, if Dudio's out as announcer, maybe give him a shot.
Or maybe you could be the announcer.
I would love that.
Let's hear it. Let's hear those pipes.
Jeers was filmed in front of a live studio audience.
Good. That's good. Let's hear you do Mickey.
Do Mickey? Okay.
Hi, it's me, Mickey. Oh, Mike, I got a wig.
That's exactly it. I didn't even say anything.
Dudio. How'd that song go again?
It's a studio?
No, Dudio. Remember? There's a guy.
I don't remember the
word. I wish he would go away. Something like that.
That's what it was.
Dudio. Hey, Ben.
Yeah.
Thanks for being on the show. You're
hey,
all right.
Thank you, Gary. Pleasure to be here.
Get Mike out of here. Creeping me out. Hey, Mike!
Yeah.
What's the name of that really popular movie that, like, the guy from Key & Peele made? Oh, wait, let me think. I think it's called... Get Out! Get out of the squirrel! Out!
Well, there he goes. Wow.
Where does
Running
he go?
Out.
He just disappeared.
Back to his car.
Oh.
He drives here. So, it is now 12:15.
Choof.
see if there's anything. Oh, look at all these. Let's take these calls, and then we'll say goodbye.
Great.
What's that? Three? Best show. Hello, best show. Best show, hello. Goodbye. Hi, best show.
Hey, Tom, it's Dan and Carney. How are you?
I'm good. Dan and Carney, what's going on?
Not too much. I was hoping to get you out of an abusive relationship, sir. I know you love the NBA, but the Knicks don't love you back. You should get a new team.
Well, why would I need to get a new... I like the NBA, my friend. I'm not like...
No.
I don't walk around wearing jerseys for one team. I like the National Basketball Association. I like the league. That's why they call it the league. And it's not the other league with Zooks. Not that league with Zooks. You know Zooks, right?
Zooks.
Jason Mantzoukas.
Oh, the show.
Yeah, the show, the league.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's not the show, the league, but then the show is the show. You know the show. It's like one for the money, two for the show. It's like the show. You know the show. Are you going to represent at the show? You'll find out about the show.
What's
someday.
The show?
Go look it up later.
The
Go,
show?
From the 90s? The TV
No, not
show?
The show, the show. Oh. Not that show. The show, the movie, the show. Remember the hip-hop movie, The Show?
Oh, yeah. Never heard of it.
So, okay.
Slick Rick.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. The DVD for it is out of print. I can get my hands on one for, you're never going to guess how much, $400. It's $400. So, Dan, you're trying to get my goat and say, the Knicks are terrible. Yeah, no kidding. They're terrible. I know they're terrible. They're the worst. Unlike you, I like basketball. I know they're terrible. But you know what?
I like basketball. I don't like basketball as much as you do.
You don't like basketball. You like hockey. You like hockey.
I like hockey more.
No, you like hockey more.
Yeah.
You like Martin Brodeur.
Yeah, you see the new ads with him? Very exciting.
No, I didn't see. I live in America, not Canada. They don't run hockey ads down here in the lower 48. No, but look, you, sir, are not only a listener to this show, you are a producer on a different show, and I think you met Claire.
Okay, that I did.
Last week.
Yes, I did. Claire was outstanding.
He calls for Dave Hill, this guy.
Oh, yeah. What's up? Hello. Good to see you. Or talk
good
to you.
Good to see you, too. Good to talk him? To you again, Claire. Yeah.
Give me a break. What's up?
Not too much. Just hanging out.
Oh, good.
Okay. Thanks, Dan. And tell your overlord, Dave Hill, that I said hello.
Will do.
This is what I want you to tell him. Tom says hi.
Mm-hmm.
And that we can go on each other's shows. Let's do that in June.
Sounds like a plan.
Thanks, buddy.
Thank you.
Hockey sucks.
He'll hear that later.
Hockey blows.
And he'll just be like, oh, Claire's cool. Oh. Best show. Hi.
Hello, Tom.
Yes.
Show about Jam.
Who is
How
it?
You doing? Jam.
Jam.
Yeah, Jam, your old friend.
My old friend Jam.
Your old pal Jam. I'm a short-time listener, first-time caller. And I want to thank you for putting this topic up front tonight because I have some idiot ranting material that I have no place to put except right here.
Let's hear it, Jam.
Well, let's see. Calling Jim Morrison a meathead seems to me to be quite the meatheaded criticism.
What?
And he doesn't need any defending by me, obviously, but...
Well, you like the Doors, right? You like the Doors?
They're all right. They're all right. It's more just knowing about the Doors.
So,
they're all right.
You don't think Jim Morrison is like a total... like that this was like a frat dude who just kind of tricked his way into the scene.
I seemed to be someone in a band with disparate personalities, and that seems to be what makes them, I don't know, criticizable. It seems like he was overreaching in his freakiness a little bit, because the other guys in his band were duds, in a way. I mean, this is a guy who would, you know, just his drunken presence would incite Marines to want to beat him up. There's a story about him giggling around in a bar, and these Marines, you know, wanting to handle him, and handling him, and they did, throw him on the hood of the car, rough him up, and he just kept smiling, kept laughing the whole time it was happening, and they ended up walking away because they couldn't. I don't know. What they did sounded to me more like a meat-headed maneuver.
Okay, well, I'm not beating anyone up, though. Don't, because I think he's not good.
No.
You don't equate me with people who just jump people in bars.
No, I'm sorry. No, I don't mean to equate you
with
that.
Right.
I was just,
it's all right.
I was saying the criticism itself seemed, I don't know, I was just handing the word back to you.
Okay, well, I'm handing it back to you.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah,
no, it's just, you said something about the Lizard King, him calling himself a Lizard King. I never really took that literally when he said it. And, you know,
well, I would hope you wouldn't, because if you took it literally, you'd think he could control lizards. I never thought he could control, like make lizards do his bidding. Although I would probably like him more if he could. If he was like, I am the Lizard King. And then suddenly he like put his hands out like, bah! And then all these lizards started like scurrying all over the place. Then I'd be like, all right, this guy, I think I like this guy now. Because he can use control.
He was speaking from the perspective of like, you know, idiot suburbanites who think they have their world all together with their nice, neat backyard. And now we have it and we can control all the animals and the beasts of the field. And yeah, that's what it seemed like to me. Like he was seeing from someone else's perspective. It's just the doors have come in for a lot of abuse. Like PFT called the Doors the most overrated band in history. Quite the hyperbolic criticism. I think so, because U2 exists, and they forced their album upon everyone. And
but nobody's going around dressed like Bono, right?
No.
Nobody shows up like dressed like Bono on the college campus.
Now, that's true. Yeah, their fans can definitely get annoying. There's some adolescents who believe that like a religion. And it's like, take a look at the band. Look at the people in it. They didn't get along well enough for the message to stand.
Look,
and I mean, some of the songs you criticize, like, what is it, Touch Me? That's a Robbie Krieger
joint.
That's
their best song. That's their best song. Are you kidding? Touch Me?
Come on. Touch Me, babe.
Yeah, it's a great song. You don't like that song? I thought you liked The Doors. I love that song.
No, I think that's one of their weaker ones.
Oh, you're right.
Jim thought it was. I like Lummy Two Times and Peace Frog and.
Right?
Yeah, that's Love Me Two Times. Seems,
no, that was Peace Frog.
No, really. It seemed, compared to what they were doing before, it was, I don't know, some kind of pop departure. Seemed like maybe didn't belong in their catalog.
Okay. But they certainly seem to have a bunch of those. It's not like it's one odd song.
What is it? Tell All the People That You See, that thing.
They had a lot of catchy songs. And Robbie Krieger wrote the catchy songs.
That's another Robbie Krieger
song. You know
what's
a catchy song that they had was... Right? That's a catchy song they had. You know that it would be untrue. Like, that's a catchy song. I'm not putting the Doors down because they're catchy. I'm putting down because their singer's a dimwit is why I'm putting them down. The other three guys are great. They should have gone and gotten, what's-his-face from Love to sing with them, not Arthur Lee. They should have gotten the other guy. Then they would have been two great L.A. bands going.
Okay, so, all right, I didn't know you saw it that way. I generally think of the rest of the band as being a bit timid compared to what Jim Morrison wanted to do. It seemed like he wanted to be in a band of all fearless freaks, and the other ones were a bit, a bit timid. I don't know. That's the way I see it. And
look,
from what I've read,
different strokes for different folks. This is why God invented horse racing. This is why God invented horse racing. You have a great night, and I appreciate you calling.
Okay.
Don't let any more calls through, Mike. We do have to wrap the show up. Best show.
Tom.
Yes, hi. To whom am I speaking?
Hi, it's Taylor. I'm alive. I'm not dead.
I know this Taylor.
You're alive. Hi, Taylor.
I'm not dead. I'm just in Burbank.
Ugh, you might as well be dead.
Yeah, that's exactly that sounds like a bad Johnny Carson monologue joke. It's like,
that's straight for Kate. That's straight for Herb O'Shaughnessy you have there.
With, in Burbank, we have, So how are you doing, Taylor, post?
I'm well. I'm so glad Claire and Kevin are there with you.
Yes.
Glad to be here.
And they're excited to make an announcement. What was the name of the show again? These Things...
Stuff That's Good.
Stuff That's Good. No, what is it called?
These Things Matter.
These Things Matter.
Yeah.
I was actually going to get it right.
Oh,
and you,
I threw it.
I said These Things, and then you said Stuff That's Good. I finally had it. Now, Taylor, I hope you're sitting down.
I am.
Claire is the new Taylor on the rebooted East Coast version of These Things Matter.
Well, I got to say, you know, if it's got to be somebody, I'm happy it's Claire.
What a class
That's
act.
Nice.
That is a class.
Look at that.
Taylor, I came in with some money and, you know, I've just bought a couple
of heard a little bit about that.
Yeah. They came into some money. They bought enough to afford two microphones.
I got two mics and a mixer. And
a basic four-channel mixer.
The
mixer's used.
That's good because I sold all of our equipment.
Oh, good. For cash?
I'm hustling.
What do you think? I got $400.
Cash. That hurts. That hurts, Kevin. Kevin looks crushed by that.
Well, I didn't really make any money, though.
You're running with a different crowd now, though. You're running with our buddy Neil.
That is true. I am.
Cool dude.
He had me and some friends do a vocal thing for him for his next album, which is pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Nice.
Mm, see, cool. Some people leave. They leave Denver, and you turn around, and their friends are now on Howling Hex albums.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Kevin was really holding me back, I got to say. I'm skyrocketing now, you know?
Yeah, but...
I mean, we're all skyrocketing.
Yeah.
You know.
Don't worry. You're here now, and you can get made fun of by Big J.
Big J. Oakerson.
Can make fun of you, I guess.
Yeah. Excellent.
Yeah.
He's tough guys.
Yeah.
He's a tough guy.
Can't run with those.
Well, I don't want to keep you any longer, Tom. You're already over time, I know.
Thank you, Taylor. See, this is the mark of a true broadcaster.
For sure.
Thank you. Thank you, Taylor.
Bye, Taylor.
Bye, Taylor.
Of course. Bye, guys.
Best show. Final call.
Hey,
final
Tom.
Calls. Hi. To whom
it's
am I
Jessica
speaking?
Jessica from Ithaca.
Jessica, how are you?
I'm doing all right.
I'm here with Claire O'Kane. And
hello.
Kevin Drummond?
Drummond.
You thinking Andre Drummond? Is it because I'm so long?
Kevin O'Brien?
Yeah.
Kevin O'Brien? Kevin O'Brien.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Wow.
Hi, everyone.
Hi.
Hi.
What's going on tonight?
Not much. I was just, I think Elena called in last week and just talked about how we had a concert canceled on us at the beginning of the month. And that was a huge bummer because I know I'm also trying to break into a much smaller scene, which has its own obstacles because it's very insular.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I just got to keep working at it.
Yeah. That's all you can do is just keep going. It's literally all you can do. Nobody will ask you to stay. You have to tell everybody that you're not going anywhere.
Exactly. That's all I got to do. You know, I'm working on a new album. Trying to get a live show going.
Good. This is. And are you enjoying it? Are you enjoying the process of this?
I am very much so. I get a lot of fulfillment from it.
Then you know what? At least for now, then that is your reward for it. And then you see what else comes your way. If anything, if whatever comes beyond that is then all gravy.
Great. Other good news is that we recently have a cat in our apartment, and that's been helping a lot.
That's awesome. What's the cat's name?
Satya.
Tatya?
Satya. I did not name the cat. The cat was left in my girlfriend's house by someone who used to live there, moved mm-hmm. out, left the cat. Ugh. Her house already has four other cats. The cat never left the bedroom, so scared of all the other cats being mean to her, so we brought her over here.
That's nice. You're looking after the cat. And Animules help so much. I tell you, with my dog, Good and Poochie, this is the greatest dog I've... Since my poor dog, Dogmo, died over 5 years ago at this point, we waited and waited, and finally, it's time to get a dog. Here comes Good and Poochie, and it turned out the right dog showed up at the right time, and it was exactly what was supposed to be happening.
So it's up for us, just like this cat showed up. It's the nicest cat. Just hides around all the time. It's so adorable.
That's awesome. See, so there's a positive thing that comes out of you being out and about and staying involved with stuff. This cat.
Cats. Oh, and also for the topic, this probably won't work, but I take it you're not that into Rush.
You know, not really.
Not really. Yeah. And I guess I like them. It's a soft spot for me because they're like the first band I got into. Like my brother suggested to me, and I got it in middle school.
Mm-hmm. I get it completely when people are into them, and I see what appeals to them about it, but it just doesn't appeal to me. I see what people get excited about them.
I think I'm a weird subset of Rush fan because I like the 80s stuff with the synthesizers.
Sure.
And they started singing about being paranoid about the world instead of Dungeons and Dragons.
You like that over Bitor, Snow Dog.
Yeah, I mean, I still listen to the other stuff, but I'd rather throw on, you know, Grace Under Pressure.
And what is that song called, Bitor and the Snow Dog?
That's exactly right. 100%.
You like, the world waits on my shoulders, but what am I to do?
Yeah.
Right?
That's what I like.
And then what's the song that Amy Mann sings with them?
Don't stand still.
That's right.
I'm not looking back, but I want to look around now.
Yeah, see? That's the stuff. You like the 80s stuff, and the people like that stuff. People came around to it.
Yeah.
All right, Jessica, I got to take one more call, and then I got to get out of here. The show's already so over time.
Well, I appreciate it. I was scared I wasn't going to get on after being on hold for so long.
Don't worry. I'll talk to you later.
Okay.
All right. Final call. Best show. Welcome. Hi.
Hi, Tom. How are you?
I'm well. To whom am I speaking?
This is Evan in Vancouver.
Evan in Vancouver. What's up, Evan?
Yes, sir. Just wanted to call and, I had something to maybe convince you, but I know we're late in the game here, so I just wanted to say, you know what, everything, I don't think it's a positive and negative thing with you. I think it's cynicism mixed with, you know, how you read up, and I appreciate your opinions, and I wanted to say.
What? Wait, it's how I was brought up?
No, how you read up. Like how you you're educated about your opinions.
What's your cynicism? I actually think, to me, and you might laugh at this. In fact, I know you're gonna laugh at it.
Sure.
If I told you I did not see myself as a cynical person, what would you say to that?
I would say, well, what's your definition of cynicism?
Is it cynical if you like the things you like and you don't like the things you don't like? Is that cynical?
No.
It's not like I'm walking around and I couldn't. It's like, well, what do you like? And if I couldn't name anything I don't like, it's like, yeah, that would be cynical.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I can name
things
that I like than I don't like.
Yeah, I agree with that. I totally agree with that. I guess I champion the idea of being cynical, but I like what you're saying as far as, you know, you like the things you like and you don't like things you don't like.
Didn't
and
you learn a thing from when Conan O'Brien said that thing about cynicism before the thing and then after the one show and before the other show or something like that? I can't remember.
No, because I couldn't. I mean, I was skeptical on that whole thing, I guess, maybe.
Well, look, my friend, I appreciate your call. You have a
great I appreciate day. You. You too.
Thanks so much.
That guy doesn't know what he's talking about. The second to last call, you're so positive with that last caller. And this guy comes in, he's like, you're so cynical. Yeah, like, what's up with that?
Could I have said more nice things in life, right? Mm.
That second to last call was great. Great advice. A lot of positivity.
Kevin.
Yes.
Drummond? No, O'Brien. You're a very... Do you think, in your heart of hearts, are you inherently positive or inherent? What's the voice at the very bottom of the inside of you? Hmm. Is it a pessimistic voice or an optimistic voice?
I can guess.
I would say realistic pragmatism.
Okay.
I come from Nebraska, so it's real like sure. You kind of expect the worst as like a form of control, but you're kind of hoping things go well at the same time.
Sure. Okay.
So you kind of right
you look
down
at it being right down the middle.
Yeah. I used to be a lot more cynical as a young man, though.
Sure. But those are like the layers you put on top of that thing. I'm talking about at the very baseline of things. Because you could be a negative person or a pessimistic person, and then you put a layer of optimism, like you combat it trying to be positive. Like you know
false optimism.
I wouldn't say false.
Right?
It's like
it doesn't even have to be false.
Yeah.
Just an actual
just the idea, like,
layer.
Like, yeah, like I know. Like, what do you think, Claire O'Kane? Are you at the very bottom of who you are you look at the world as a bad place or a good place?
Good place.
A good place.
I think more good comes out of it than bad.
Okay.
Right?
Sure. All right.
Right?
Yeah.
What do you think, Tom?
See,
yeah,
I think the absolute, I think I am countering a thing where I have a certain sense of hopelessness.
Oh, sure.
With trying to counter that with being excited about things and positive about things.
Yeah. But do you think there's more good in the world than bad?
I think there is.
Yeah.
In the end, I think from an intellectual standpoint, but maybe what my gut thinks is that there is more bad than good.
I think your guts are normally wrong.
Yeah. But my brain tells me one thing, but it's like, the hard wiring tells me another thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel the same
sad
way.
Sad story.
It's a sad, sad story.
It's a sad song. Just like Lou Reed said at the end of Berlin, his most uplifting album. Sad song. Well, my friends, look at first I'm going to start with the silver and then work my way to the gold.
No, absolutely.
But the fact that I'm calling you the silver, Kevin O'Brien.
I'm bronze at best.
No, you're not. You're silver.
Okay.
Meaning that, why are you silver? Because there's only two people here. And it's like, if there's a third person, then you might be bronze.
But, yeah.
But look, I'm glad you came. It's nice to be face to face with you.
Oh, it was an honor. I was so excited to come out.
Welcome to New York.
Thanks.
I'm glad you're here. Claire O'Kane. Well, wait, first of all, Kevin O'Brien.
Yes.
What is your, where can people find you?
KevinO'BrienComedy.com is currently under construction.
Okay.
But soon.
You're working on it. You got that counter up there? What's on there?
Yeah, I'm waiting to get a promo code to get a discount to launch it.
Well, I used to be able to help you with that, but yeah.
I'm trying to build my website, bro.
You don't need it.
You know, look, coding is hard. Let me just tell you this. Coding is hard. It's real. I can't do that. So, well, how about Twitter? What is your name?
At Kev O'Brien. Follow me on Instagram at Corndog O'Brien. Okay. I also DJ at the Starliner in Bushwick every Monday from 10 to 4 a.m. Newfound Monday, emo and pop punk music. Mm-hmm. And then Arguments and Grievances, Comedy Debates, May 4th at Pine Box.
I'm on it.
At 8 p.m. Oh, Claire's on as well.
Okay. I'm on the show. I'm on it.
Yes, right. So it's a comedy debate show we run, also available on iTunes as a podcast. But
now,
yes.
What will you debate on an episode of that? Like,
so this upcoming show we have.
I'm
the
tell you this first of all.
Yes,
if you're ever going to debate Bob Newhart,
ace in the hole.
You know
right
where you know which side of the debate Claire's going to be on. Her arm will tell you.
Yeah,
she's not going to go. I hate Bob Newhart. They'd be like, well now. I'm scared because it says Bob Newhart on your forearm. Like, what's underneath it? Sucks. Like, I'm waiting to get sucks here because I did come into some money. enough that I can afford sucks to be finally written underneath this tattoo.
And I wish I had kept that to myself.
No, I would have seen it at some point.
No, that I have my, my money.
Look.
I was trying to be honest about how I moved. People are asking me.
It's a fun comedy show.
I know.
And now you're going to be known as...
The Pants.
Rockefeller. So... So what, like, what is an episode of the show? I didn't mean to.
Oh, arguments. So we have, so this upcoming month, it's Coke versus Pepsi and Geico Gecko versus Flo the Progressive Lady and a couple others. So
okay.
Like that. We pit different topics against each other.
Sure.
Then comedians debate in two rounds and they try and win the audience over with their side of the argument.
So give me the battle and a previous one that has been determined. Have those been determined? Are those?
No, so that's upcoming. That's coming. And the audience decides the winner too.
So what's one that has happened already?
Last month we did Freddie Mercury versus Freddy Krueger.
Uh-huh. Freddie Mercury would win.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
But it depends on who's defending that side. So sometimes you assume it'd be something obvious and then somebody comes from behind and takes it.
Yeah. And what's another one? Let me see if I can guess these now. Let's see who wins.
Hulk Hogan versus the Incredible Hulk was last month as well.
I would say the Incredible Hulk would win that.
Nope, it was Hulk Hogan.
Well, where are you holding this thing? In Florida? This is not what are we in Tallahassee?
Hulk Hogan's
winning.
I was a very convincing Hulk Hogan last month.
People understand that this guy is a maniac.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, brother.
Okay. Claire O'Kane.
Yep.
My friend.
Yes, we can say that.
Thank you for coming here.
Thank you for letting me come.
Of course, you come anytime you want.
I'd love to.
Pending appearance
on
said appearance. Uh-huh. I wasn't going to have you here. Have the dudes who gave each other livers. Well, they give each other livers. That would have been weird. If they're like, we switched livers.
I just asked because this is one of my favorite things.
Oh, it's one of my favorite things to have you here. And I was just like, I think these liver dudes are coming by. you might not get a lot of burn.
I said that's great.
Good. I know you said it, but I'm just saying I wanted you to come last week. And then I was like, I want the liver dudes to have their moment of glory because they gave each other livers.
They gave each other's livers.
Yes. And they're both sick now.
Oh, they both got bad. They both had bad livers.
No, they both had good livers
that
are not working in each other's
different
bodies.
Systems.
It was a really bad decision for them to do that.
It was nice you had them on the show.
We all tried to talk them out of it. You are here. Are you doing any shows, anything?
This Sunday, I'm doing Brett Davis's show called Macaulay Culkin show at Shea Stadium.
That's right.
Because it still exists. Mm-hmm. And that's at 8 p.m.
Okay,
that's
great.
That's my next hot show.
Okay. And people can always find you at Baby's First Gun.
You said it.
And on Instagram as Claire
U-H.
Kane.
K-A-N-E. And Amazon Budding Prospects.
Mm-hmm.
I'm toward the end of the episode. Yeah.
I'm not.
Check it out.
Look, I'm.
It's been addressed already.
Yeah. It has been addressed already. Everyone. Thank you for listening to tonight's episode of The Best Show. We try to have a good time here when we do the show. You know that. As I vamp while I load other things. But, Mike.
Yes.
What's going on with you? What's that? You're winding down, yeah. It's hard to wind down sometimes after the show. Because we do this once a week, and I look forward to it so much. This really is the one place I have that I can come and feel like I can be the version of myself that I like best. This really is... This place is a refuge for me. It's hard out there, trying to get things going in life. 2017, not been an easy year, in a lot of ways. Some hard turns. Hard curveballs. Stuff you're not expecting, but you know what? I'm doing alright. And Mike, you're doing all right. You got apmike.bandcamp.com going strong. I feel like, Mike, this time of year, it's finally getting nicer outside, right? It's getting warmer. It's springtime. It's rejuvenating and regenerating. And Mike, maybe in us, there's a chance that we're not done. What if we have it in us, Mike, to just pick it back up and keep going? One more shot at all this. We've been knocked down. Spring's here. It's nice. What if we take that as a signal that it's time for another rebirth? For us to keep going and not to quit and not to stay down when we get knocked down. What if we kept going, Mike? What would you think about that? Mike, if I said let's keep going, would you keep going? You'll keep going. And if you say you're going to keep going, I'm going to keep going. You know why? Because, Mike, you're a friend of mine, and I love you, Mike. I respect you so much. You're a sweet guy. You're one of the best red guys and smartest, intuitive guys I've ever met. I am so grateful that you are here with me each and every week on The Best Show. I'm not going to say it wouldn't be the best show without you, but I'm going to say it's the best version of The Best Show with you, Mike. And you, I tip my hat to you, and everybody, salute AP Mike for once in your life. He's coming back, I'm coming back, and you know what else is coming back? The Best Show, 7 days from now, mark it down, stupid, www.thebestshow.net, Patreon, thebestshow.net/thebestshow. Bye!